participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hi.
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 I can testify that you came to rehearsal today.
Yeah. Can't blame nobody but me. Hold on a second.
One moment. I may never have heard you rehearse more.
Seem to have lost my place.
Please stand by.
I don't even know what tapes are in.
We are ready to go, and we are ready to believe you. We'll resume our motion picture shortly.
All right,
please stand by.
Let's see this. Oh, hold on. This should be this guy.
It okay. Is very
okay. Now, totally set. Mm-hmm.
Was that Price?
Yes. And as I was mentioning, now we can open the show seamlessly.
Yes.
We don't even have to open the microphones for five full minutes.
All right. Because we're doing that video
that's
opening.
That's why we have the show open.
Yes. Does that mean I can come in at 3:05?
Make it here by 3:03.
Every day.
3:03.
Because I'm in love with my new furniture in the office.
Depending on the amount of new wacky tapes or
comfy.
Old wacky tapes. Because we will play a tape or two every day before the opening. And Mike, well, here you go. There you go. Thank you. You can read that and then we'll actually start the part where we don't talk.
3X this week.
Come on.
Red line.
You can do it, Mike.
Tell it.
This Dynamite shout-out goes to Value City Furniture of Falls Church for furnishing our office, and in particular, my lovely, lovely leather couch that I was reclining on just moments ago. Thanks to GM Tom Powder and to John and Kenny, the best delivery guys in the business. From all of us here at the Don and Mike Show, thanks so much, John and Kenny, and Tom Palmer, and all the folks at Value City Furniture.
Amen.
How'd I do?
There you go.
Now, see, if I came in at 3:03, I wouldn't be able to do that.
That's true.
There you go. So,
besides, I'd like to watch you push the buttons anyway.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Hey, you can file that as done and done.
Thank you.
I don't think it could have possibly been done any better.
And now...
It is very nice to see you on the plaza. We have got groups from North Carolina, more groups from England, people gathering from all over the world, and of course we have everyone who listens to Don and Mike on the radio, spoke to my good buddies there yesterday. Howdy, guys. Let's see what's happening as we take a check of the weather all over the United States at this hour.
I'm John Wayne. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. I've known that little fellow a while. He's mentally retarded. He's mentally retarded.
This is my fault again.
Huh? What is that? What in the name of all that is sacred?
Well, I'm trying to decipher, what with the equipment and stuff, the full John Wayne...
Or versus the edit.
Versus the edit. And it seems that we have the beginning, and we have the part where he says he's MR,
right.
and I can't find the whole goddamn MR. Thing.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Huh.
Good code.
Well, what a sticky wicket.
Well, you know what? I think the best thing to do would probably be just to shut up and just play the stupid thing that the people said in. So
well,
that
they you said we were going to play that every day. We have the
I know.
Winner.
I wanted to play like a tape or two before.
Well, I thought you... Do you play that after you play your tapes or what?
No, I thought we...
didn't know when you were shaking it up again.
No, we'd play a tape or two, and then we'd play the open to the show thing, and then we'd play the Don and Mike show thing, and then they'd...
I don't know, Don.
I don't know, Don. I know you don't.
Two-a-days.
I know.
Two-a-days, starting at 7 at Ashburn.
Oh, we ain't going in looking guilty.
No, we're not. Okay. No.
Where'd you get that money?
I don't have any money.
No, I'm cold and hungry and wet and tired and short-tempered.
Yeah.
So get on with it.
The Duke.
Okay, well, you got it, so get on with it.
Mm-hmm. Get on with it, Duke. Hey, Duke, you got a problem with me, man?
Now, if I can only remember which one of these... He's going to open the show today.
Are we going to open the show or have more dudes?
Young fella.
Yeah?
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Good. Okay, big man. Tough guy.
Oh, you want to laugh, huh? You want to laugh, ass man?
That dumbass amateur.
You, is that what you're calling me, brother? Okay.
As like... my Mexican friend said,
what?
Very funny.
There you go. I am. Ass?
I'm going to remind you of it every single minute of every day and night.
Remind me of what?
We don't need to waste no time speculating on his case or feeling sorry for him.
You got so much younger just then.
Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
And you got old again.
Impugned? What does that mean?
It's a big word, dumbass.
Well, just for the tally books, what did you say?
I said you are a dumbass.
Now give those Indians a fair trial.
What are you talking about?
Can't be that hungry.
Not hungry.
You're showing off.
I just ate. Duke.
Who's the best?
You and me.
Say, you really busted that knuckle, didn't you?
You turned into a little boy just then.
Big mouth don't make a big man.
Hey, is he talking to me, Duke?
Ooh, that's perfect.
It is perfect.
I apologize for my language.
Thank you. It's about time now.
I'll loosen your belt.
What do you want to do to me now?
How's it taste?
Hey, I don't like this. You apologize, then you get all frisky.
You are a prying, pipsqueaking ass.
Okay, we're right back where we started, Duke.
I see what you mean.
Did you get young again?
And any more talking, it'd be a waste of time.
Okay, boy.
Where did you find these pecker woods?
Hey, old man.
The government never gave anybody anything.
Have a smoke.
Oh, Duke. All right, well, I'll work out the bugs. And maybe by tomorrow's show, I'll figure out the various computer elements that I need to put the stuff from the old place on that's on digital. So let's...
It's the heat.
Let's just all just pretend that the last 5 minutes of radio didn't happen.
What? I had a very good time.
Okay, let's all just... close our eyes, kumbaya, home.
Okay, so here we go.
Count down to radio silence.
20. 19.
Shut up, Kong.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
Oh, Wimpy Man.
Okay. Here we go for real.
Dot and Mike Show, where we always give you the laugh you need on the 8th. Sharing, a man whose agent isn't vigorous, and he invites you to come use his pool anytime. It's Michael Thornton as the tightest DJ in America, Don Geronimo. And he sits and really works it a lot. He's the inventor of the world-famous Lil Mikey Burger. And he can have a panic attack at any moment. He's Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara. And Mike O'Mara. With the sexy, swinging music, ever to grace a glass-closed room. He makes men cry and women swoon. It's Michael Wilson and Bud. And as a junior apprentice producer, he's a wife-beating Nazi and real-life Donkey Kong. It's Robert Wadham Speedwagon. Also featuring an Asian stone who has many parameters and the best face-free Nazi around. Episode of John and Mike is brought to you by Mark. Now, coming to you guys from the world down over my headquarters in toxic Rockville, Maryland. Contesting Rich Corinthian Reverb. Here's John and Mike! Oh, I'm here for a while!
I love
That's just one of the many.
I think that I can't think of a better one to start the cycle with.
Over 20 of them. So, you know, there's a 4 weeks in a month. You'll hear it maybe once a month. So each one unique.
Makes me feel like I'm in the quarter, Buzz. Makes me feel like we're in New Orleans.
I like
it's
own
goodness. It's unique, and it's from our listeners. And for that, we say thank you. It has got the lip on it. It's got the juicy lip on the end.
That's the best part right here.
Where I can talk until it's time to say...
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
I just want to celebrate another day.
Don and Mike!
Right.
Hello!
Hi there, yes.
Oh, hi there.
Rarified Earth. Today. The token whiteies. In Motown. And they were white guys on the Motown label.
Love that man.
I know someone who liked them who's not allowed to talk right now. The door's not open yet.
Coming down from the Empire State Building as we speak.
Here he comes.
Who he?
You know who he is.
Who he?
Come on, you know him. He's incredible.
Incredible.
He's incredible.
I love every square inch of my glorious naked body.
The eighth wonder of the world.
Win. Honest of a king.
He never thought he'd get this much build up.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
It used to be that this was enough for him.
He's mentally retarded.
And thank you, Don, before we speak.
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
The huge wooden gate on the island and letting me come in. That's the witch doctor.
How's your
good for you?
Good for you.
Afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. The Sun likes them and all the ships at sea. Number one Arbitron rated among two-digit IQ'd men with shaved heads and facial bleeding. It's Don Geronimo and Michael Moore.
Thank you. Triple digit, Robbie, just like the weather. Century. Triple digit.
Real straight.
Don and Mike Show, you can tell by the smell, everybody, and it's new episode on this Wednesday. 08-02-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
He's a local boy. He's just terrific. He's our new leader. He's like too much.
Like too much what?
He's one of the truly great swingers of all time.
He's another guy who does a lot of tapes now. We've still got his other one in here somewhere. You can call us from anywhere in America or Canada.
Yeah.
One number, toll free, 877-365-3636. That's it, one phone number, no waiting. That's it, 24 lines, one number,
no
dicking around.
In a way, we welcome you.
You can also email us. Go to our website, send us email there during the show, or not during the show, DonandMikeWebsite.com. You can hear us on your computer right now,
yeah.
DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's the official website of the show. The internet is there, and we have archived shows for you, and the iPod debacle has been fixed. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the Don and Mike Show, and the podcasts have been updated. Let's just check
on.
Is that right, John?
Loaded 5 today.
Loaded 5 new ones today. Bye, John. Bye, John.
Loaded 5 today.
So that's all the information you need. Breaking news.
Yes.
Channel 4 is breaking in again. It's hot outside.
What?
Yeah. I really am going to shoot myself the next time I turn on the TV and they're really breaking in
to tell
us that it's dangerously hot outside.
Let me offer a piece of advice that people may not have heard.
Let me offer this, Mike.
If you haven't been near a major media outlet today, this is some advice I heard from another news source. Okay. So I'm really not claiming this is an original, but I'm going to tell you what I heard, because I really hadn't thought of it until I heard this.
what you want to do today with temperatures in the 100-degree range,
right.
You want to be in air conditioning, and listen to this carefully, please, because you might miss it.
Okay.
Stay comfortable. That's what I was told today. Stay comfortable. And as soon as I heard that, I went, oh, my God, they that's actually, brilliant.
They actually came on here on one of the D.C. stations. I think it was Channel 9.
Uh-huh.
Came in with the, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, ba-da-da-da-da-dun. Breaking news.
Right.
Right? So I think, okay, you never know.
And the report is just some chick out on the street saying, boy, it's hot, and don't forget, hydrate.
Right.
Drink water.
That's right.
Okay.
The breaking news has been so abused by local news and also by the big cable network.
Well, now, Fox 5 here in D.C. let's hear it for them, because, God, I love that station. Because if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
And they've got rotating American flags, and they've got their logo, like, all over the place.
Very
like,
pretty.
It's an acid trip.
Yeah. Cynical, smarmy anchorman.
Yeah, the entire station.
Brian,
Channel 5, what they've done, they were the first to make everything breaking news. They were the first to jump on that trend in this market.
Right.
And now what they've done, I've noticed, is developing story, which is
another little buzzword that we've been conditioned to think is something important.
Now, the open to breaking news is the helicopter.
Ah.
Breaking news.
Okay.
Now, for developing story,
yes,
it's a big ass Sherlock Holmes
magnifying glass
and he goes whoosh, and it says, developing story.
I was watching Fox News Channel, waiting for my car to get serviced in a showroom, and they had one of those little TVs.
Hey, Mike, I just stop you?
Yes.
Lucky.
What, lucky?
You know how to live.
Well, yeah.
Can I just say, you know how to live the good life?
Yeah, really.
You're
excited.
In a car. You're in a place waiting for your car to be serviced, and you're watching Fox News Channel, I'm guessing, with a bunch of other people waiting for their cars.
Yeah, and I was the only one sitting. I think I was giving off that vibe that said, don't sit near me.
Mm.
And developing story, you mentioned that one. Developing story was, I was looking at the same Israeli tank for probably half an hour. It was just not moving, and it was one of those long shots where you could kind of see the desert heat, and they were showing that, and every time they would go to the anchor and then back to the tank, I thought we were going to see the tank fire, and it never fired.
But I'm sure if you're listening to us out in Sacramento, it's no big deal. You just got done with 2 weeks in a row of temperatures over 100 degrees every day. Here in D.C., it finally is getting to be actually a 100 degrees, and what they're doing is they're treating it like the blizzard. Except there's nothing falling from the sky that's stopping people. So really, the entire newscast now is, don't forget, hydration.
Drink water.
You know, drink water.
Right.
Drink water.
Just jump in, drink water.
They love talking to the idiots who are out jogging in 100-degree weather.
Oh,
after they tell you it's the worst thing you can possibly do, they say, oh, and incidentally, I'm here with Joe Idiot. How's it going? Hey, it's going just fine. Well, as you can see, he's braving the elements. So please just disregard everything the pablum we've just been spewing out.
I saw a lady that they would have loved today. There's that Best Buy right up the street here in Rockville.
Right.
Coming out of the Best Buy, it was a fat lady with an air conditioner. A fat lady with an air conditioner on a hand truck. And I saw that. I said, oh, if there only had been a Channel 9 news camera to just record that for posterity, it would have been
also,
great.
I want to thank Channel 4. Channel 4. Channel 4.
4 on your dial.
This was a hint that was thrown in at the end of the newscast about the heat.
All right.
Close your blinds.
Oh, yeah.
You don't realize how much energy you're saving and how much cooler you can make a room.
I hadn't thought of that.
And the thing is, they're looking at the camera like they're telling, like the tone would be like, there's poisonous gas outside.
Right.
If you open your door, you're dead. It's like you're talking to a 5-year-old.
Really? Let me see if I've got this straight. Uh-huh. If I pull the blinds down, that will block out the sunlight, which will in turn cool the house.
And that is now passing as news.
How does that work?
Right.
They're so incredibly lazy.
Shade cooler than direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Because Israel hasn't blown up Lebanon yet, or vice versa, they're able to go with this and just pound it and pound it and pound it.
Something to do.
You know, and I say, it's a Channel 4. You really want to show us what it's like? Put Susan Kidd out there.
Oh, yeah. Is that the lady with the air conditioner?
It was funny to see her, though.
That's a,
she had this look like she was the cat that ate the canary. She was so satisfied.
Sure.
And she was struggling with it a little bit because she had a little...
Struggling.
She was having a little trouble with her upper arm strength, and and she was trying to get this thing into the car. I would have offered to help, but it was 100 degrees. So I was...
You know, you're calling yourself, and thank you for being honest.
Yeah, I was not going to help her, no. I mean, she has air conditioner.
I'm going to be honest now as well. When I was talking about, what's her name, Fatty McGillicuddy. Susan Kidd.
Susan Kidd, you mean.
Susan Kidd. Love to see her, send that big woman out in a heat wave.
Right.
To see her with the big, gigantic sweat stains under her arms.
Send her down on one of the monuments. We've got these monuments down here, and send her up the steps.
Put your test.
One trip up the steps, she'd be dripping wet.
So anyway, here's where I'm coming from on this. Where do I begin? I had to go to the doctor today.
No, that's a good song. You all right?
Where do I begin, or I had to go to the doctor today?
Where do I begin? But I don't know. I had to go.
Love story.
I've never heard a song title, I had to go to the doctor. I heard Doctor, Give Me the News.
Oh, really? You've never heard I Had to Go to the Doctor today?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's from the album Gonorrhea Now.
Gonorrhea.
So, I go to the doctor. Now, I have one kidney.
Right.
This really has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you.
Some background.
But because of this, I have to go to special doctors that sometimes I see once every 9 months. Sometimes I see them once every 3 years, as it turns out. Today was one of these three-year doctors where I go and they shoot some dye into my side and then they wait and they put me like in an MRI tube and everything is hunky-dory.
Right.
So they've not seen me for 3 years. Mm-hmm. The last time I was there, I think I had weighed... something like they had me a clock 3 years ago, like at 269.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know me, if there's one thing I've been screaming about on the air, is, you know, hey, whenever anybody calls, I'm not fat, I don't weigh 200 pounds, I weigh myself every day, I run 3 miles 5 days a week, which is all true. Mm-hmm. Well, I get there today, and I've not seen these people in 3 years.
Right.
And
are you looking for a little love?
No. I want to tell you, I'm being true now. I'm being honest.
Uh-huh.
They say to me, God, you look like a totally different person. Yeah. Fantastic. And I say, well, you bet your ass. You know, 196, are you kidding? That's, and they say, well, you know, really, they all went like,
yeah,
incredible. Well, so we start the stuff, and they do everything. They got to take my temperature, which always hurts.
Mm-hmm. But in a good way.
Always hurts. do the blood pressure.
No!
And she says, now we need you to get up on the scale.
Uh-huh.
And let's weigh you. They say, no problem. Now, I am wearing no accoutrements at all.
So you're wearing, are you in the robe?
I'm wearing no bling at all. I have the robe on. I don't even have the luxury of underpants on.
Okay, so you're almost naked.
I step up on that hospital scale, and she sets it at 150.
Right.
And pushes it towards the right.
Uh-huh.
And it don't move.
Wow.
I mean, it goes like it goes like this. It goes, and I go, that's impossible.
She said she moves she has the big weight on the 150, and she's moving the little weight all the way to the right.
So it's a 200,
and
the needle's hitting up against. The needle is all the way down at the bottom.
Wow.
So I said, well, I step off the machine, and I say, this is impossible. This is impossible.
Yeah. Did you step off the machine?
I
like
did, really.
That?
Just like
did
that.
You do the little dance move
like
when
a,
you did that?
Just like a king dick. You know, I stepped off, and my hand's like, wait, yeah, hold on. No. I'm really obsessive about this. No. My waist is, I'm down to a 36. You know, granted it's tight, but blah, 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 and all this other stuff. She says, just get back on again. Well, you look great. Come on. Just let's find out what's going on here.
Huh.
So she weighs me.
Yeah.
And she goes to 200. And she starts moving the thing up. And it goes to 203.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is still, it's just not moving. And I'm like,
she doing it very gently? Obviously, if she's
slowly.
Going 201, 202, 203, she's doing very
gently. So I said, listen, oh, Christ, what the hell? Just go fast. Move it fast. So she goes all the way to the other side, and it goes all the way down. So it's a 250, meaning it's all the way up now, meaning that I weigh much less than 250.
Right.
So now she goes down, and she's finding the exact spot.
Uh-huh.
And she says, well, congratulations. She said, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You weigh 214 pounds.
Now, what did you think? What did you think the scale was going to tell you?
I thought the scale would tell me 196.
Uh-huh.
And I feel awful because I've been such a friggin' big mouth about this. When anybody calls, I'm like, hey, you know, hey, I don't weigh 200 pounds. Guess what? I do. So, and this is the level of this. Now, these people are trying to give me these injections so that they can find out if my kidney is okay.
Right, probably right. Want you to remain calm.
You don't care about
that.
And it's not that I'm not uptight.
Right.
I'm just, in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God.
My mind.
214. 214.
That's what you're focused on.
Fat. Fat. I mean, I know I'm fat, so I think, no, hold on. No, I've been under 200. I've been under 200. Oh, so you know what I do?
What?
I call the GP, the general practitioner.
Right.
I call that doctor.
Doc, yeah.
And I talk to the lady there, the nice lady there.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hi, it's me. I got a weird question for you. I say, I know it's been a while since I've had my regular checkup. But I knew it was like around the holidays, right? She said, it was December. Everything was great. Blah, blah. I said, yeah, okay. What was my weight? It had to be like 195 back then, right? She said, 208. And I went,
well, wait a minute. Do you weigh yourself every day? I mean, do you weigh yourself a couple of times a week?
No, here's, let me just explain. So I, you know, I'm in total denial about this. The whole time, all they want to do is say to me, like, are you having problems urinating and all this other stuff? And I keep saying to them, you know, I don't, that's a discrepancy of 18 pounds. I said, and you don't know how many people I have boasted to and I've shoved it in their faces. And my God, I said, well, how can I fit into these pants? And the woman said to me, you sound like a woman. She said, you sound like a woman, like trying to get into a size 8. She said, just relax and settle down. And we started talking, and she said, what are you weighing yourself on at home? And I said, oh, forget it. I mean, it's high tech.
Yeah.
I said, she said, do you use the doctor's scale? Because I have one of those.
Right. And you have a regular doctor's scale?
Yes, I do.
Stand up.
And I said, I used to use it. But when I was going through some of my late wife's stuff, I found that she had this thing that was, like everything with Frida, God bless her, incredibly expensive. And that's why the Sharper Image, incidentally, is going out of business.
Oh.
Since Frida passed away. Really, nobody buys anything there at all.
Wow.
You step on this thing, and it gives you your weight, and then it gives you your body fat.
Yeah, the body fat percentage.
And it gives you all this other crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, this thing is infallible. I mean, I read the box, it's got to get 100% guarantee. She said, well, I'm telling you, it's got to be wrong. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat about it. Don't sweat it. You know, you look great. Your health is very good. Get out. Have a good day. So instead of coming to work, what did I do? I go all the way back home. Go all the way back home. Take off all my clothes. I get on the hospital. Thanks, Rob. Get on the hospital scale.
Well, hold on a second. Had you had anything to eat this morning?
No, I did because I knew I was going.
Okay, so you fasted, so you're going to get a, you know, but still you're supposed to weigh yourself first thing in the morning.
Right. So, which I did on the Jetson scale.
The Jetson scale before you went to the doctor.
Yes. So what I did was I go home, and the first scale I went to was the one that's in my bathroom.
Right.
The big doctor's physician scale that's got the sliding.
That should
on
be
it.
The slam dunk.
Right. Just like in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
I put it at 150. Go all the way to the end where it goes to 200 and it's like, I go, oh, F.
Yeah.
S. Mother effer. Go back and like, I mean, God, if it's not exactly to the ounce, 214 pounds. So now, before I destroy this other thing.
Right.
I'm enraged. You know, I'm so mad.
This is not the one you've been using.
No. I've been using the fancy one. And incidentally, yes, my body fat, incidentally, I guess isn't really at 28% either. I guess that I got some splendid to do about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the other room, and knowing that I'm for whatever reason, I'm maddest at myself. Because I thought that, you know, even though I've lost a lot of weight, you know, I was proud of the fact
you're
that
very
you
proud, don't. Right, I don't want to say you brag about it, but you constantly reinforce yourself about it. I think
because I'm always
power of positive thinking.
I'm always afraid that I'm gonna go. I remember what it was like when I had to get size 46 goddamn pants.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I go into the bathroom, Frida's bathroom, where this fancy scale is, and I look at it like, okay,
put my toe on it, click the thing, and it's I stand on it, and it goes.
$196.5
Oh, that's bad.
Wow.
Now, before I think about taking this thing and throwing it through the wall,
right? Yes.
I step off. And when I step off it, I notice that when I step off it, it's got just a little bit of this. It makes just a little bit of
a racket, like a little loose fitting.
Yeah. Now, what I do is, and I never do this, but I didn't want to break it.
Right.
I get the book, because Frida's left a book for everything.
Good move.
I get the book, and I see that it says, unplug the thing, blah, blah, blah. And I turn it upside down, and it is on these four very thin, wafer-like metal little flying saucer-type jobbers.
Little feet.
And what it says in the book...
Little feet.
What it says in the book is because it is so accurate and will give you such incredible information...
Right.
It must be absolutely level, and it says in particular... Do not put by any gout or crack. Now,
grout. Yeah, right.
Grout. Now, where this is in my wife's bathroom,
right.
Was sitting directly on, like, you know, one of the...
Up against the seam.
The seam.
Yeah, and on the floor where...
So it's kind of tilted.
And on the floor where there's all of the little cobblestone or where the hell...
Tiles.
The tiles and the cobblestone.
Tiles, Don.
Cobblestones.
It's sitting on a seam on the tile, man. Right. They're really concerned
about it. It's not level.
And you can do that if it's level.
So what I did was I picked it up then and brought it all... Now, keep in mind, I'm, again, totally naked. I'm walking around my house naked.
Naked and red-faced.
I go downstairs. Like, I know that in my dining room, that's where there is the just flat
wood floor.
Flat, nothing.
Right.
Wood floor.
No seams, no tile,
no
grout, no nothing.
I set the thing down.
Yes.
I put the dogs outside.
Yes.
Plug it in. Ding. I step on it. 214.2
Wow. Well, they're all matching now.
Yeah.
You was robbed.
So that's anyway,
been lying to you for how long? God.
No, Mike, I've been lying.
It's not your fault, Mike. You didn't know.
I've not gone to the real physician's scale.
20 pounds. That's
18. 18.
18
pounds, Mike.
Not manageable.
It's 18 pounds that I humbly... we'll bring someday to the audience in a little red wagon.
Excellent.
Just like Oprah did.
Good for you.
That's right. Someday. I'm not going to put any timeline on that.
No.
But I sure am embarrassed.
If it's any consolation to you.
I'm a fat ass.
Yeah. If it's any consolation to you.
I'm a fat ass.
My 40-pound weight loss is leaning more towards 36 pounds now, if that's any consolation at all.
Well, it's just, you know.
I mean, I weigh myself every day, and today was a depressing day.
Just one of those things. Yeah. You know, I used to say...
Water weight gain with the heat. Still, you've both done well, and especially Don, who's been at it a little longer.
Yeah,
but I would be flat out of my mind. I can understand exactly what you're going. You have that plateau. The plateau of plateaus is 200 pounds. You get below that, and you've been talking about that. I remember when it happened. I got sick of hearing you talk about it, because I'm not there yet, not anywhere near there yet.
That's why I thought it's only fair to mention, and really, you know, like the girl said to me today, she said really when she was sizing me up, and this is, you know, this is just what she wants to do. She said, really, if I was like in a carnival game, I would guess you anywhere between, 200 and maybe, 220?
Yeah.
She said, depending on the angle. I said, 14. It's just the 200, you know, and I got home, and then I got a...
How long have you, and I'm going to say, listen, let me phrase it this way. How long has the machine been lying to you, in your estimation? I mean, really, how long have you been using that exclusively as your weight?
I discovered it at Thanksgiving.
Right. Okay, so a good long time.
Up at the beach.
You weigh yourself weekly, daily?
Three times a week. That's what the nutritionist said to do.
But that is
the nutritionist that I stopped going to, because, hey...
No, but you.
I'm under 200 pounds.
And you thought you're doing the road work, you're doing your treadmill stuff, so you can probably
relax
a little bit in the other areas.
No, I mean, I thought I was doing everything fine.
You still come in, you don't need anything in here.
I know.
Right.
I know. Well, you know. Well, neither do you. And
not anymore.
I know. But I mean, that's like.
I had a meltdown with Carla last night. I said. She said, "What's wrong?" Well, I said, "What's wrong is I eat the same crap every day, three squares a day, every day."
Here's the thing.
It sucks.
Nobody is fat. You ever been out with someone who's fat with a bunch of other people? And they sit there, and the other people will say, like, I'll have the steak tartare, mm-hmm. and I'll have whatever, the lobster, and they just roll it in butter. Right. And the fat guy will say, yeah, you know, I'll have the greens, you know, with vinaigrette. Now,
no oil.
Listen, why lie? Why lie? That's why I bring it to your attention today.
Thank you.
I consider myself to be an official fat ass. I'll let you know when I get my fat ass below 200.
I know you, though. You're going to get that. You're going to get
you
that.
You will.
I say you. I say,
motivated.
I say easily, slam dunk, you do it before Labor Day. I guarantee it.
Don't sell yourself short, though.
What do you think?
Great
I think
progress.
It's doable for you before Labor Day.
2 pounds a week is what you're supposed to do if you do everything absolutely right.
Right.
No, I don't do everything absolutely right.
Well, you can't.
No one does. No one's perfect.
You can't. I mean, it's ridiculous.
No one can.
Well, Rob, what do you? Can you shed some light on this?
What?
You've given up.
I did.
When officially did you give up completely? When did you begin to really totally let yourself go?
When Julia was born,
uh-huh.
which was December of 01 or 00.
That's so we're when talking I was at my, six, 7 years ago.
That was when I was at my skinniest. I got down to 220.
Right.
And
right. I remember.
I
remember he was skinny, and you're 6'2". You're 6'2".
Same height as Wayne Newton. And I kept it off for probably about 8 or 10 months, and mm-hmm. then I started to put it back on, and it was so much more fun. And I put it on at about the same rate, you know, a safe rate, about 2 pounds a week. That's what the doctor recommended.
Right.
And
gain.
Now I'm back just under 300,
uh-huh.
and feeling pretty good.
I'm in back of this guy at the sub shop today, and this guy gets every piece of junk crap you can put on a sandwich.
All the bad stuff.
Yeah. I wanted to stab him. I wanted to stab him in the eye with an ice pick.
I'll have a BMP with a mile of cheese
on
it.
Could you dip that in butter and then deep fry it, please?
Mayo.
All I know is that today, seriously, they could have said to me, oh, my God, we've got awful news. You know, your one kidney is not going to function. We're going to have to put
will
you on
it take the weight off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're reading my mind.
How much does that other kidney win?
You're reading my mind. How about one more IV? Just one more IV. Just give me one more.
It's the never-ending battle. It is the never-ending. I mean, look, the bottom line is there are people that are predisposed to be thin. And
I think that's crap, Mike. That is
100. Do you really think that's crap?
Really? Hey, listen, I just told you I weigh 214.
I give you one name.
I weigh 214.
I give you one name.
If I really gave a rat's
ass. Daryl Nichols.
Yeah.
Daryl Nichols could not get fat if his life depended on it. He could not.
Okay,
I ate with him for 2 years.
That's one guy out of 300 million.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
I know they're out there.
When I watch some of these workout shows where you see the little petite person is out there going, okay, here's what we're going to do today. And, you know, yeah, they're workout people, but I think that people, look, I don't want to say that if you don't work your ass off, you're not going to lose weight. What I'm saying is the people that there are certain people that comes easier to
right.
than others. If you look at the show, The Biggest Loser, which I watched last year,
but the whole
these people
is,
have to kill themselves to do it, and they do a great job.
And I think that that's exactly what it's about.
Uh-huh. But those are the same people that if they hesitated for a second, if they don't stay on it, they're going to gain that weight in 6 months. And I would say there are people that are predisposed genetically.
They're lazy, fat people.
No. Some people, you have a body type. It's
genetic. Put myself there.
Runs in your
214, lazy,
do you not
fat
agree?
Person.
But do you not agree also that there are people that don't have to even, there are people that don't make an effort at all.
Yes, and if you and elect me, if you elect me king, I'll do away with them.
Thank you.
We will no longer be disgraced by those people that I know the ones you're talking about.
No more models.
Eat anything and they're skinny.
I venture to say
you know what, those people are all unhappy as hell, Mike.
We've got two people back there. I would venture to say that John Norman and Joe Ardinger probably can eat whatever the hell they want. They got those kind of metabolisms. I don't know about Joe, but I think John, yeah. Hi there.
Hi.
You can eat whatever you want, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, do you ever think about it?
No, absolutely not.
And you've never had a weight problem?
I'm at my heaviest I've ever been right now, but I wouldn't take your word.
Yes, hi.
Strictly air. There's the example right there.
Mm.
And Joe can smoke anything he wants, and he won't put on any weight.
But Joe doesn't have a weight. Has never had a weight problem, right?
You never had a problem, have you, Joe?
No, but they're not as smart as we are.
You're killing me.
That was funny. Joe, I didn't hear an answer from you.
Oh, no, I turned their microphones off. Okay. I said we were smarter than they were.
Yes, of course. Turn them off. That is too funny.
Turn them off.
That is too funny.
So anyway, full disclosure and all that. So that's that. So there's. I'll let you know.
You make me feel very good.
I'm an official of fat ass.
I mean, I'm sorry that I'm like taking pleasure in your time of pain, but because I've been wobbling lately, now that actually motivates me again.
No problem. No problem.
I mean, I'm really ready to just have an absolute meltdown.
Fat ass.
Fat ass,
sure.
But not fat.
You're motivating yourself. That's what you're doing.
All right, can I just tell you one very briefly? Yes, what?
Last night, you know, Carla, God love her. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I would not have lost weight if she wasn't making me these Weight Watchers friendly meals that she cooks. And she's out with her mother at Bed Bath & Beyond. So she leaves me a plate, right? And then on the stove are the extras. And so I put the plate in the microwave oven and I chow it down and then I stand up and I go over and there's this red beans and rice that's in the little saucepan and it's just sitting on the stove and I walk down and I get this big ass tablespoon and walk down with the pot in my hand.
Right.
And I have the spoon in the pot when Carla walks through the sliding glass door.
Of course you do.
And I'm just like, hi.
They know.
Hi, you said I had an extra 2 points. And she knows that I'm lying right there. You said I had an extra 2 points, so I was just going to go, yes, she says, where's the measuring cup?
You might as well be watching porno.
She walked in while you were masturbating.
It's terrible.
She walked in while you were masticating.
She did. It
sucks. It really does. But I was caught. Again, I'm caught constantly by her. Well, she's part Blackfoot Indian, so she's got very soft feet. You never hear her coming.
As a fat ass, who's not lucky like John. And now John's not smart like us, but he's skinny unlike us.
And lucky.
God knows he's lucky.
Very lucky.
Lucky every day to come into work.
Good, you can come with me on my upcoming vacation.
Only to bring it to your attention, to be honest. So that's it. And
well, how do you feel now? Now that you know the reality of it, what do you
feel fat?
But you're ready to.
You're the same guy you were
really,
this morning.
Just think how you're gonna feel when you get to the real 290 and that, 196.
And that's where you realize how you really lie to yourself.
Uh-huh.
It's like before I went to the doctor today,
right?
I really this is gonna be like a comedy. For you folks, I was looking at myself in the mirror and actually thinking, not bad.
Not bad.
Right. by my low standards, I was like, you know what? Okay, not bad. Not bad. You get up there, and it's a psychological thing with the...
Right.
See, this is the...
With the number, right. This is the you people crave to hear about, though. Uh-huh. They want to hear. They want to see your vulnerable side. They really do.
Yeah.
They like you to tell these stories.
Yeah, there's lots more of it.
Good. Keep them coming.
And you realize how you lie to yourself. Like, I got some real nice pants. Went to the store and got the nice
pants.
Not like the crap I'm wearing today. Nice clothes. Where I have to be with real people. And, I got a
size. None of us are tucked in today.
I got a size 36. I got a size 38. And, I noticed that I put the 36 on. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ. I'm like, cutting into my intestine, I can't go out wearing these. And then I thought, it must be the cut of these pants because I'm buying these high-end pants.
Well, on jean sizes, a 36 would probably be right on for you, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm in 36 today.
But you have to go, when you're getting regular dress pants, you go up a couple inches.
Half.
That's kind of natural.
Fat.
Rob, no, it's not 10 inches.
Fat.
You don't go up by 10 inches.
Very fat. Bring it on. But listen, Johnny. Hey, Yanni, back there. Hey, Yanni. I don't mind the fat ass calls, but I don't need the diet help calls.
Okay,
thank you.
How much weight have you lost? You don't need any help in that department.
No, you're doing fine.
I mean, take it to the 214. How much total weight have you lost?
At one time, it was clocked at 289.
Right. That's significant.
Clocked at 289, although we all know probably a little more. When we were going to New York.
Oh, we ate well. You weren't 289 on the fancy scale, were you? On the one that was pressed up against the grout.
Oh, my God.
No. No, that was at a real doctor's office. That was at a real... No.
He was hoping for a second.
No, I wasn't. No.
had a conversation with, my kids.
You know, this is a good day for me to talk about my kids as well. Bart is getting ready to start his third season of his five-season run at Clemson University.
Good for him.
Down in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
And the deadline for signing up for classes and getting all that stuff done so the tuition is paid. You might remember last year, right after Frieda passed away, one of the things that got mixed up was he didn't get his tuition paid because I forgot to pay it with all this new stuff I was doing.
Right.
So I'm on this like white on rice, which incidentally always sounded to me to be a very, very racist statement, which people still get away with to this day.
Yeah. I believe it is, isn't it?
Like white on rice.
Look at the man protesting. Look at the man. Look at the man. That's as violent as a...
wonder of the world!
Rice, you get rice and it's white. White on rice.
Unless you like brown rice.
Well, we get brown rice.
I agree with Don. I always thought it sounded a little racist.
Like white on rice.
You're on it like brown on brown rice. There you are. I don't think it's racist.
Anywho.
It doesn't offend me, and I'm
well, you're
white.
Certainly the authority on that much one. Better.
On anywho. This corner of the room, I am.
Yes. On any, anywho, I get the card, you know, the card that's addressed to him.
Right.
That says, attention, you know, student Dumas, we've not heard yet from you about don't forget to do this. Right. So I call him up, and he says, hey, Pops, what's happening? And I say, hey, I just got this note, and he says... Yeah. And I said, well, it says, you know, that you've got to get this done. He says, the date on that is what? What's the last date? And I said, oh, hold on. No, I thought we weren't going to think this way anymore. He said, what's the last possible date? I said, God, I don't know. August 17th. He said, oh, I'll handle it. And I went, you know, I remind myself, okay. He's 21.
So it's just a reminder for him to register to pick all his classes so he's all set for the year.
Yeah. So I said, okay, you know, good. You know, handling, hung up the phone. I'm like,
He doesn't know, does he not know that you're going to now stress about this, that you're going to worry about this?
I just want to make sure his bill's paid. And he's got to sign up for the classes so the bill gets paid. But
you're a guy who likes to get things done. Right away, get him off your plate.
Yeah, and he's exactly the opposite. So right. I let that go. I mean, like, what can I do? He's 21, right? So right. Then I figure, well, I'll call my 29-year-old daughter. Mm. And see how she's doing. And she's got chaos going on with the three kids and everything. And one of the things that Amy and I have come to an understanding about is the fact that I appreciate the fact that she has a husband who works his ass off to support three kids. And my daughter's had a lot of medical problems that I won't get into. And I'm more than happy to help with the medical bills when, you know, the insurance won't cover it because she's had stuff you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. So at some point recently, there was some bill, and she was really stressing about it, like for $300. And I said, don't worry about it. And what I did was I sent along a check. With a little more, you know, with just a little more cash. And said, you know, just put this like as an emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she called me up and she's like, oh, you know, thank you. You don't have to do that. I said, hey, don't worry about it. Anyway, I call her and I go, hey, how you doing? She said, I'm doing great. And we are recapping her birthday. And she said, oh, I got a brand new tattoo for my birthday. I said, great. I said, you know, fantastic. She's got like one on her ankle and
right.
you know, then one on her belly button. I said, right. What'd you get? She said, I got that thing down, I guess, by the crack of her ass, you know, where they all get
on Target.
Yeah, where she had something done already and she got some.
That's the line out of Wedding Crashers.
Well, she got some like blueberry leaves or something, I don't know, and then got the kids' names.
Nice.
And I guess it's a nice touch. She loves the family.
Well, that's very sweet.
And I said, that's really great. And she said, yeah, and I really have to thank you. And I said, oh, well, I don't see why. And she said, well, I use the emergency money for it.
Those darn kids.
You know, and I said, you know,
the emergency money.
You know, doesn't anything let you know that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when you hear that? That's a little bit of you in her right now.
The emergency money was like for the real emergency, like when the car gets towed in whatever part of St. Paul where they want $400 to get it out of the lot.
That tells me that she's her father's daughter right there.
Yeah, think back.
It might have been.
Come on now, use your memory banks.
A very urgent tattoo to get. An emergency tattoo.
So I said, so did you bring the kids in? She said, oh, yeah.
To the parlor?
Yeah. I said, what did they do? Oh, they watched.
They watched to get
done. Played with the needles.
They watched. Oh, that's sweet. Okay.
She was a big tat person.
Yeah, she is.
So now the emergency fund is all dried up.
I said, okay, don't call me when the lights aren't on.
That's very fatherly to say that. That's funny, though.
Don't call me when the repo man shows up. Show him your tattoo.
Tattoos are forever.
Show the tats.
Yeah, a trip, dinner, putting food on the table, that's fleeting.
Yeah, you take a man's time.
Right.
You give a man a tattoo.
You give a man a tattoo.
This is something that lasts.
This next gentleman is from Oregon. I don't know these motherless, fatherless terrorists for not signing up for their fall semester classes in a reasonable amount of time, but I want to tell you the United States of America does not want you to wait until the last possible day. God bless America. Good night.
Slip signer, America. And make sure your scale is sitting on level ground.
And oh yeah, hey Don, hey, fat ass. I knew you weren't 200. I stood right next to you in a big fat ass. My velvet robe was rubbing up against you. Daddy, don't you walk so fast.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That would be a good place to start.
Yeah.
Let's check with...
Hey
there, Kong.
All the villagers, they go to...
Oh, I see them all running down the hall with their torches.
Yeah. Pitchfork.
Yeah, with their tiki torches.
They don't have pitchforks.
Be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Tell you what happened. Bob Costas said, "Hey, Regis." Well, I'm midway up the aisle, you know. I'm sitting there with Trump.
Good for you. Sit with Trump.
Me and Trump are holding hands, hoping we haven't been canceled yet, you know. Season just began, but you never know. In this... So anyway, Costas, nice guy. Regis, I'll throw you a ball. He throws me a ball. Well, you know me, Gelman. Right there, I pull it in. 3 more balls left.
Okay.
So I forget. I think Al Michaels said, take this one, Regis. Boom. Regis holds the ball in this hand. 2 balls. Now there are Shannon Sharp, who's a big, powerful former tight end, and one other guy. Why can't I think of the fourth guy on their team? In any event, the third guy throws me the ball. Now I hold him 2 balls. Pomo. Now Regis has got 3 balls. He's a fan.
Regis in the ice.
Pomo. How many balls can Regis get old carry? He's got 3 balls and Shannon Sharp. You know, these athletes, they want to test Regis. They want to see how good he is.
Well, especially now that you have all the balls.
He's a fag. Shannon Sharp, who's a big guy, boom, let's go. Actually, it wasn't that hard, but my arms were full of balls. Anyway, I reached up. 4 ball Regis, right there. 4! Thank you.
No idea what he said.
No.
Not a clue. Thinks he's regaling them with a great story.
Are we still on the air? Well, that's impressive, and I'm glad that you had that experience last night.
Made me feel like a real man.
Don and Mike Show.
Oh, you mean testicles?
Come. Watch them stem the rose. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You're right about that. Let me just take a moment to say hello to JC.
Holy Jesus Christ.
Holy Las Vegas.
Boy, am I glad. Thank you, Jesus. Football starts Sunday.
They got a preseason game on Sunday?
Yeah, a worthless game. Worthless game.
Not to you.
Hall of Fame game. Eagles and the Raiders. Sunday night on NBC. Hi, Daff.
Art Shell is back.
Right? John Madden. What's his name?
Wow.
The, you know, Simeon Teef. Al Michaels.
Al Michaels.
Yeah, so football's back. I'm excited about that. There's a reason now for me to make it through to Sunday.
Good for you.
Because Sunday night, that's the salvation.
Good. And then it's going to be more and more and more. Leading up to the season, and then sometime in February when you go through your withdrawal.
And I crash. Because the NFL is the greatest drug dealer in the world. The NFL comes to you and says, during the preseason, how would you like a taste?
Try this.
We're going to put it on virtually every night of the week. You can find a channel that's got a game on.
Right. A live game.
Yeah. And then, it's the regular season. Oh, I tell you what, we'll give you a taste. You can watch your crappy home team, but how would you like some good stuff?
Yeah.
How would you like to watch everything? Just pony up the money for the satellite.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah. Yeah, but where are they in January?
That's right.
When people like me start calling, the withdrawal lines.
I
got the DTs.
Year-round football season, I don't think it's going to happen.
And, you know, they try to give me, what's the equivalent they give when someone's on heroin?
Like methadone?
Yeah. For the methadone, they say to me.
They're too quick? That was very quick.
I'm sorry. They say, try NFL Europe. Try arena football.
Yeah, it's football life.
No, it doesn't work for me.
You don't watch a lot of that anymore, do you?
No, thank God.
You used to know all the teams. You used to know the starting quarterbacks from the teams.
Don't anymore, Mike. Don't anymore. New man. 214 pounds of new man.
No.
2-1-4.
Just as you start to play golf again, here comes the NFL. That'll take care of that.
Yeah, and golf. I do want to say hi to Mr. A-Hole out there. And he's fine with me calling him Mr. A-Hole.
He's a special guy.
How he's come to be known.
I had a funny conversation with him, I guess not yesterday, the day before yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I think I mentioned briefly on Monday's show that we had played golf over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I shot like 102. Which for me is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an awful athlete. I don't know what I'm doing. This guy's really helped me out. And it's funny how things work that, like, you know, 3 weeks ago, this guy was a real jerk who kind of invited himself over to go to the pool. And what's happened is since he's helped my golf game,
yes,
I've noticed all of a sudden he's not such a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I've become a little familiar with him now. Where I, what I mean is, hey, come on. That's right. I had four balls in my hand.
In the caddy shack.
No, he asks me, I ask him questions about golf and other things, and he in turn asks me questions about life.
Good.
I have to be careful what I say.
He asks for your advice, or he asks for your depth of knowledge and life experience?
We've discussed rearing children.
Yes. Ah, I see.
Oh. We've discussed rearing children.
Right.
Because remember, one of his charming lads, either Beavis or Butthead, when they were over at my house, was a little lippy.
Yes.
I talked about it on the radio, and he got pissed, and that's what started this whole thing.
Right,
and I had hated this guy for 10 years, and now that we've played golf and we talk, and for some reason he views me as someone now that he can talk to.
That's good.
About this. I don't know how many parents there are out there, and I know he's not embarrassed with me bringing this up.
Good.
The reason I brought it up, not like it's one of those things like, hey, let's open the lines and see what you have to say. I don't give a crap what you have to say, but I bet that a lot of you out there know people, if you're not people yourselves that do this,
mm-hmm,
but you'll say you know people like this,
mm-hmm,
whose kids frigging run the adults' lives. And I'm not talking about all the usual stuff like, mommy, take me to soccer practice, or mommy, I got to go to ballet, or mommy, I got to go to my piano recital.
Kids actually set the agenda. Wow.
Yeah, I'm talking about it like where, you know, the kid does something absolutely out of line. It tells the mom to go to hell or tells the dad to shut up.
That happens, and the dad does it in front of people.
Yeah, and the dad says, well, you know, will you shut up?
Yeah.
You know, the kid says, hey, will you shut up?
Not supposed to be a level playing field.
And then the dad says, go to your room. And the kid says,
screw you. Go to your room.
Yeah, the kid says, screw you. I got porno up in my room, old man, on a computer.
Right.
I mean, I'd be glad to go to my room. I mean, this guy was in a similar type situation.
A lot of parents are, actually.
Similar situation. Although,
You know, why is it when people get together that they always love, no matter how bad your situation is, you must find something worse that together you can laugh at,
yes,
so that you don't really focus on what it is you're talking about?
You mean your own situation?
Yeah, because like, what we're talking about in a roundabout way is raising boys, and right, particularly raising boys.
Yep.
And he starts talking to me about some of this, and I said, hey, you know, I might want to talk about this on the radio, because, you know, sounds to me like your kid is, like, running your life, and you're starting to tell him now that, you know, I mean, like, a big step for this guy was he took away the kid's phone. Now, keep in mind, the kid's phone was fancier than my phone, fancier than your phone. I mean, it was one of those jobbers that had texting, it had
so it's a super fancy phone.
Yeah,
it had all kind of like the internet
access.
A lot of kids nowadays, you give them cell phones, it's kind of a safety thing, you know.
Right, it's like he said that the kid said something to him like, I gotta have it because I need it for school. You know, and he said, yeah, okay, whatever.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah. And then he gets the bill, and like, I guess he's texting people in school, and I'm not really allowed to talk about a lot of this. Right. But as we're talking about this, he says, hey, not to get off topic, he said, did you hear about Johnny A-hole up the street?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, what? He said, oh, my God. His kid had a party last weekend. Did you hear the cops were called over? My God. So, you know, we had to spend about 10 minutes discussing the destructive behavior of Eddie Munster up the street,
right,
before we would come back. Anyway, it's a weird thing.
Well, that's
because
the whole thing. That's the connection. You both have sons, and that's what you're talking about.
I don't
about.
Consider myself to be an expert on parenting by any stretch of the imagination, not holding myself up to be that. It's weird that the guy wants to talk to me about it, and in return, he's helping me hit the golf ball.
But hey, why not?
And that's
what it's all about.
And those seem to be the parameters of our friendship
so far.
Well, that's what you have in common.
No, I think, and that's the other thing, Buzz.
Yeah, so you're helping
each other. We've kind of mutually agreed that we like it
to limit it to that.
Just about where it is.
All right.
I mean, one of the things that the guy said to me that I thought was really great, and why he might be a friend of mine, one of those secondary friends,
right,
is he said, well, I really liked chatting with you, blah, blah, and we'll play golf whenever, and, you know, okay. And I said, is it cool if I talk about this? Yeah, just, you know, don't leave it.
Keep
leave
it vague.
Yeah. And anyway, I said, yeah, this is good. He said, yeah, but can I tell you something, really? And I said, yes. Anything, what? And he said, if I see you at something like one of these neighborhood functions, he said, you know I still feel the same way about you. deep down inside. And
it was an arrangement, really.
And I said, and I you.
It's so weird.
It's an agreement. It's
different. That's very unusual.
And what I don't know if he was being funny. See, the truth is,
I mean, that's what I would wonder, if he was being funny.
I don't know if the cat has the intellect. Well, hey, that's a nice compliment if he's listening.
Well, you don't know him well enough.
I don't know if he has the comedic intellect to pull off such highbrow humor, or perhaps if this is going to be the way it's going to be. Well, golf, we talk about.
Well, it would seem to me, if you guys saw each other at another social function, that you would, like, kind of hang out a little bit. Right now, I mean, you've obviously buried the hatchet with this guy.
But I might not, because
right,
there are things about him that I still don't like.
And right, vice versa.
Well, isn't that, I guess so.
Right. But isn't that the way it is with all friends
and family?
There are really things about him I don't like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't be specific.
Right.
Okay.
Of course not. Would you describe the friendship as tenuous?
Yeah.
Like one thing could go wrong.
Fragile.
He could say one thing to you out on the golf course, and then bingo, bango.
No, I don't know.
Even describe it as a friendship.
What?
You even describe it as a friendship.
Yes, because we've had rather intimate conversations.
But it's a friendship based on
all homoerotic, mind you.
Now, speaking of that, let me get to that for a second here. Speaking of homo, right? You know, you mentioned that you're not a gifted athlete, and that he's helping you. Is he a athletic type of guy? Is he that type of guy? Yeah, I know in your neck of the woods, you know, there are a lot of those guys that are.
He's one of those guys.
Oh, that's one of those guys.
That's one of the reasons that I don't really enjoy
it. I understand.
He's one of those guys at the barbecue, for instance, at the neighborhood barbecue.
Yeah.
He'll be there with the perfectly pressed polo shirt and his big imposing biceps,
mm-hmm.
and he'll do that thing where he's folding his arms. I called him on this, so he won't be mad. I hope.
Do that thing where he folds his arms. Kind of make the guns look a little bit bigger when you put your hands in there, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Also, he's a real big one on this. He's a real big one on... Hey, fetch me a brew.
A man's man.
He's a big one on that. He's
a tough guy a little bit. Could he kick your ass?
Yeah, without question.
Ah. So he's a large, muscular
guy. The celebrity he most resembles would be that guy on Law & Order SUV.
Okay.
Okay, kind of
the guy who looks like he needs a hair transplant or has recently got one. But,
kind of an Italian-looking guy.
Big and menacing and hulkish. And long, long ago, when Frida was still with us, I at one party foolishly called him on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's when I was hanging around my friend Gary, the British guy.
Right.
And then when Gary just said to me at one point, mate, he's a horse's ass. So why don't you just tell him to shut the bullocks up? I will do it. I will do it.
You replied.
But
you have this friendship. Are you going to go out and play golf with him again?
Yeah, maybe this weekend.
Wow.
That's what we were discussing, perhaps this weekend.
You obviously have something in common where you both like the early morning hours. You like to be out there early.
Yep. And he was asking me, like I said, real life questions about his kid.
Right.
And I hope I was able to, to help him. And if he at any point would like to be on the show, I told him he can call in.
Very good.
That'd be great. And if he'd like to perhaps, if he's listening between now and this weekend, if we get together to play golf, if he'd like to write down things that he doesn't like about me, I would be glad to read them on the radio.
Fair enough. Very good.
I'd be glad to read them. I find him in social situations to be a former Marine, I'll kick your ass, bastard, know-it-all. But he's a really good guy.
But you like him. This is starting to develop real homoerotic tones here. This is what it is. It's almost like you love him, but you hate him.
Have there been any other examples?
Are you in any way attracted to him? You know, just in that 5% that we all have.
No.
There's no, I mean, if
no,
he was,
no.
If you were gay, he would not be your type of guy.
Okay. He, now he's done nothing against the law.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Where is this going?
Yeah.
I like it when you say something and I don't know where the hell it's going. You know, we've been working together a long time. Normally you'll say something and I kind of know what's going next. He's done nothing against the law. Well, thank God for that.
Yes. Certainly not. Jesus Christ.
Am I going to get you in trouble with this guy if you say anything further?
Well, what the hell?
Isn't
that really the point of this now?
It kind of is.
Really, the point of this whole show now is what the hell? I mean, yeah, we're going out in 2 years. Let's go out on top. Right. Okay. I said it to him. And Frida knew it, too. I don't think the guy has ever physically raised his hand to his wife. I really don't think so. But the guy is the biggest prick. Not only to his wife, but to all women in general, I cannot stand him. And it's not that I am freaking King Arthur or Johnny Save the World, but I mean, I've seen him in social situations where really you hear from across a deck area, you know. Hey! Hey, you stupid bitch! Come on. Hey, how many times I gotta tell you, stupid bitch? Get out of here. He comes walking back.
That's bad. That's bad, at a party.
They would come walking back over, and everybody else would act like we didn't hear him say that.
Wow.
And one time, I said, hey, friend, what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Hey, friend, what are you doing? And boy, Frida would kill me. Well, I don't have to worry about that now. He might kill me. This is long ago. He actually pushed me up against the wall.
Wow.
Tough guy!
This is the strangest relationship
ever. Tough guy!
But the tough guy's helping you become a better golfer.
Yes, he is, and I'm helping him become a better father.
That's
and
good.
And hopefully helping him become a better person by talking on the radio.
You're
about,
the man for the job.
Like I said, if he wants to... He wants to write in, call
that
in.
That is effed up, man. That is effed up.
Now, you've socialized with him over the years, mm-hmm. not very intensely. Does he have any sort of sense of humor that ever manifests itself? Like, when he threw you against the wall.
Did he laugh when he was dying?
Was it joking? No, was it like roughhousing at the frat house?
I don't know, other than laughing at others' misfortunes.
Uh-huh. Were you trying to be a knight in shining armor when he pushed you up against the wall?
No, what happened?
Hey, ease up on the itch bay, huh?
Yeah.
Come here, pal.
No, what I said, I swear on Frida Gray, what I said was, dude, the way you're talking to your wife, like, not here. I said, that's not right.
Nobody tells me, who the hell are you? I heard you on the radio all the time.
So it was like, this was a big thing at this party.
He didn't realize that off the radio was, don't hurt me.
Yeah, right. I mean, I didn't want to fight with the guy.
Right.
I didn't fight with the guy.
No.
And Frida would always say, we've been invited to this thing. And I would say, is Chumley going to be there? And she'd say, yeah. I'd say,
you might have a very interesting golf game this week.
And I ain't going. If Chumley's there, that's what I used to say.
Right.
I've said...
And now you and Chumley, and I like Chumley. I really enjoy using Chumley for this guy's name. I think it's much nicer than Mr. A-hole.
We had all of this out when he was over, when he was crashing the pool 3 weeks ago.
You discussed all of it.
And
after that.
Yeah, I mean, when I was the maddest, point, when we were screaming back at each other on the phone, I said, I've never liked you. Mm-hmm. If you think back to 10 years ago, I never liked you 10 years ago.
Well, I guess it fits into that category of even though, you haven't been close friends over the years, you have known each other for an extremely long period of time, which I guess allows you to have that kind of dialogue with somebody at some point.
Well, one thing I said to him today was, I said, I don't tell him now, hey, you're a big jerk face, like I just said on radio. I said, think back to your whole persona, the reason that I didn't like you, and I say this like half-jesting, and still really don't, was this whole tough-as-nails, macho BS. The truth is, you let your kid walk all over you. I said, if I didn't know better, I think you would be one of those dads who would be like beating his kids or something because you're so, so type A. So big. I said, you let your kid like, he's like Mr. Military, but the kid comes in.
Well, that's exactly why that is. I mean, that happens all the time. You get the people that are kind of tough guys. They're overcompensating for the lack of toughness in other areas of life.
Rebellion.
A lot of times you see it with big military kind of tough guys that have the wives kind of walk all over them, where it's like, yeah, I remember that when I was sitting there, I was in Nam, and I'll tell you that happened like that. And then you'll say, honey, would you go out to the car? Yes, dear. And they do that. They buckle. Mm. I mean, it manifests itself in different ways.
I just didn't know it all.
Now I think he's going to kick my ass.
I forgot to mention that. Really?
No, you mentioned it.
Guy is just a no. It all. Favorite thing for that guy said, for this guy to say, really? I'm afraid not. Hey, it's hot today. I'm afraid not. Know-it-all. Right up here.
Biceps.
So you say he's a know-it-all?
He thinks he is, Mike.
DJ killed with a golf club.
He thinks he is.
DJ killed with golf ball.
Well, he's very confident.
This will be the acid test.
Yeah,
we will find out.
You can't really tell him anything.
What?
You can't really tell the guy anything.
What do you mean?
If he's an oral, he's taking some cues about the parenting, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, and he said it was
okay. That's the one area where he shows his vulnerability.
And he did say that it was okay that I discussed that because I think this kid is pushing him right. He asked my opinion.
Mm-hmm, he did.
He asked my opinion. He said, did you have a similar problem with Barnes? Not totally that, I said, but I remember what we did one day when he abused his cell phone privilege. We took the phone out in the backyard. I took out the battery. And I threw it in the woods. And I said, there, go find your phone. I didn't tell him. Bart did go find the phone. And I found a replacement battery.
Of course he did. That was on it within a half an hour.
No, it was like a week later.
That's funny.
So,
got the message. I find this fascinating. I hope
treat
you keep this posted on the saga.
Please. Treat the kids as tough as you treat your wife.
Oh, really, my motto to you, friend.
That seems to be a
see the driving range.
Recurring theme. Everyone should know we're going to check on Don's well-being about midday on Saturday.
That's you, you know, if anything happens, my heart is in the right place.
That's right.
I'm only saying what everybody else has been thinking.
We're all part of the family of man.
And that's why I don't go to any more neighborhood things.
Right.
I just don't go
it
anymore.
Just leads to trouble.
Because, boy, Frida would not be happy with this discussion right now, Jack. She would not be happy.
When's your next neighborhood barbecue?
I just passed on one last weekend, probably Labor Day. Man. Unfortunately, I'll have to RSVP negative on that one.
You know, he might just invite himself over to have a barbecue at your place.
He did come over to use the pool.
Right.
After all.
Who knows? This could end up being your best friendship ever. You never know.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Not a chance. But at least, you know, I'm having a dialogue with the guy. And I guess the message here, if you're one of those parents that's pussy whipped by your kids, for God's sakes, don't be pussy whipped by your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't let some... What, Rob?
What? I was just saying it's about time to break.
Oh, I thought it was about pussy whipped.
No. God knows. God knows. If we didn't have to break, I could tell you all about it.
The eighth wonder of the world!
The boy who lives in terror.
I got you. All right, well,
sweet wife. We'll be going down to visit her mom this weekend. Yeah.
Have fun.
Oh, okay.
Fun.
You're going to get cut a nice big slack burger.
Yes.
Going to see the in-laws this weekend?
No, she is.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, not me.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, you're in the house again. Yeah.
Oh, hold on, wait a minute.
You're not whipped.
I misread that. Hold on a second.
He's leading his separate but equal life again.
Hold on, you mean that you're going to have another weekend of just you and she's going down to her mom's again?
Looking that way.
Whipped is if you have to go.
Well, forget what I said about you getting a slack burger call. For God's sake.
There you go.
There we go.
You must remember.
Christ, Rob, you're me without the alimony.
You must remember that until this weekend, she is home.
Hold on. It says neighbor. Let me just see if it's him. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don? You know, the more you talk about
it's not him.
Your neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, Joe put on the screen. You know what? You have the same first name as the guy.
Oh, is that what
so
three
says,
is?
It says this guy's first
guy
name.
Just wants to talk about
comma,
the neighbor.
Neighbor. And then underneath it says again, guy's name, neighbor. So you're not...
Yeah,
you're,
you know, somebody mentioned the celebrity most resembled. Well, you mentioned the celebrity most resembled was Christopher Maloney from SVU. But the more you talk about him, the more I think of the Christopher Maloney from Oz.
Oz, yes, right, the prison show.
Oh, that's
you know the picture that I have in my mind, if anybody is familiar with a young Robert Duvall, is the great Santini.
I think I can sum it up, Mike. Let me bring it into more modern terms.
Okay.
Think American Beauty.
Ah, okay, very good. No problem at all. The next door neighbor, the Marine.
Thank the Marine.
Yeah, right? And one day you're going to be working out in your garage, and it's going to be raining out, and that's going to happen. Go over and see his plate.
This is the plate.
His special plate.
He's stronger than you.
I don't have to take it. I don't have to take it anymore.
Anyway, I'm going to check my machine at home and make sure there's no threatening calls.
Of course not.
He did say it was okay to talk about it, and I think he rather enjoys the fact that he's getting finally a bit of notoriety. I'm sure he's
totally anonymous, too. I mean,
I'm sure he's listening at his office.
He knows who he is, but nobody else does, so that's fine.
Well, all the neighbors know who he is, Mike.
Oh, okay. All right. See? Yeah, you're right.
All the neighbors know.
Yeah.
They know. A lot of them feel like I do. No, I don't know.
I don't. It's a fascinating relationship.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I think they all think you're a fine, upstanding guy, and they want to invite you to every single party.
You know, I don't get it. I totally don't get this. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I really don't like the guy.
But you hang out with him.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
you talk about it.
Right.
Weird.
Agreed.
Very unusual.
Agreed. Okay. Quick commercial break.
Yes, please. I just think at some point we're all going to socialize together, and you're gonna bring him along, and he's going to be the new Janet. I swear to God, you mentioned American Beauty. I didn't. This is Thor. Thor and I are going on a cruise together.
We're lovers, but not friends.
It's not about love.
Oh, I could kill him sometimes. He's listening right now. I'm not doing the fag stuff.
Yeah, you can kick my ass. Thank you very much. Yeah. Bring it on, tough guy.
Oh. That was Mike.
Yeah.
That was Mike Van, that Mike who you've never met.
Mike will stay in the state of Maryland for the next 10 months.
No problem at all. Don't hurt me.
Okay. This and then that.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Now let's talk to Bob in Westchester. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you.
First, I want to say that I never missed a show, and I really appreciate
it. Wow, that's listening.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the topic you're covering this morning regarding full-blown AIDS and the fact that just because people lead a lifestyle that where they get the full-blown AIDS, it doesn't mean they're going to HE double hockey stick just because they've, you know, gotten the full-blown AIDS either from having an unclean taint or from being BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show. And I think that it really is interesting that although I believe I am going to HE double hockey sticks just for...
Well, anyway, we hope that some interesting people... Well, anyway, we've been dealing... Yeah.
Don and Mike Show.
Exactly.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
He's mentally retarded.
The enemy of whatnot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Our show on Westwood One brought to you by Ford. Every day, somewhere, someone makes a bold move. There is a company, a car company for people like that. Ford. There you go, Kong. Another car sold. It's the motto here on the Don and Mike Show.
That's what right. Is it again?
Every time we read the ad, you sell whatever it is.
Yes. Uh-huh. I'm sure we sold 2 cars right now, at least.
There you go. Just think about all the times that we mentioned hamburgers.
Of course. Or chicken.
Of course, we should only advertise big-ticket items.
True.
We should be advertising, like, luxury yachts.
Mm-hmm. What about television sets? Too small?
You know what we're doing right now? Free advertising. People are going out and buying these products all that we them. Are bringing to their attention.
Not even brand-specific. They're just buying them right now. They're running into the stores. We just sold 3 television sets.
Refrigerator.
Flat screen.
Stop it. Stop it.
Blender.
Washing machine.
Air conditioner. Stop it. Time machine.
Time machine for you and your friends.
Where do now, I get one?
Now we've got a couple of options in this break.
Yes.
We can take phone calls. We're not taking a lot of phone calls today. Sorry right. about that. Mm-hmm. We've got these to listen to. The Leah Remedies thing.
Right.
On Cribs.
Hello, I'm Leah Remini from the King of Queens. Welcome to my home. Come
in. And you know, she's our former friend, which is why it's interesting. And I spent the night at her house one night. Mm-hmm. And it was just,
it's Leah.
We've got that, and we've got this. And I feel it's important we move on with Meet the Fartleys.
Yes.
Because I think you're going to find in today's episode of Meet the Fartleys, which is what we'll do before we hear the Leah stuff. What we've done is taken the slant, no offense to any Orientals.
Of course.
We've taken the slant off Rupert Pupkin, who is throwing up the white flag there at Rupert.com. And we have put the focus solely on not only the pompous guy who's running the news station,
right.
currently beating us in the ratings,
yes.
and making hay about it, but we've actually put in some research and found out some of the DJs who work at the news station.
Oh, that's excellent.
So we've got new scripts
Let's
for everybody.
Today.
And hopefully a bit of bon vivant, avant-garde, joie de vie, theater.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Theater. So are we all loaded up and ready?
Yeah. Bonjour.
Here we go.
Kifra.
Again, it's a reinvention mm-hmm. of Meet the Fartleys.
Right.
It's not so much now the big pompous guy who runs the news station who's got the relationship with the guy from the gossipy website.
Right.
Now we're focusing strictly on the enemy,
uh-huh.
which is
the news station, which goes out of its way to garner publicity and has an in-bed relationship with the Washington Post.
Right. Very good.
And okay. I'm very excited because you'll be debuting a new character.
Well, I'm excited about
same
that.
Voice. Same voice.
Same voice.
Of course. Same voice.
Of course.
Same voice. New character.
So without further ado.
Love that music. Buzz.
It's time to meet the Fartleys. As we look into the glass-enclosed nerve center that is Jim Fartley's office, we find our hero not there. He's absent because it's 9 p.m. and he is about to have a secret meeting in his organic vegetable garden on Newark Street in the District of Columbia. He looks nervously to his left, then to his right. He sets down a large leather satchel and heaves a sigh of relief. Because he finds himself alone. He nervously fiddles with the stained necktie that hangs in front of his short-sleeved button-down shirt and speaks aloud to no one in particular, largely because this is a radio play. Hark!
Hark! Let's see! Now that I'm alone, I can finally break this story! Lousy woo! That item has been waiting to be leaked for a long time. And more details as they become available.
Just then, Fartley hears a noise in the bushes nearby.
Who goes there? Fartley! Or friend. Tell me who you are and I shall tell you who I am.
You don't have to identify yourself to me. I know that gas anywhere, Jim Fartley.
Oh!
And not only that, I can tell that you had bologna on white bread for lunch, and I'm guessing a little asparagus?
Yes, you're right. But you wouldn't have been able to guess the asparagus if I hadn't had that little accident. But nevertheless, you are quite the investigative journalist, and since you exposed my identity, now you should expose yourself.
I thought you would never ask.
Just then, Jim Fartley recognized the voice that had been taunting him from behind the hydrangeas. It was the voice of Paul Farhi, who writes for a local biased newspaper.
That voice! Paul, why did you alarm me so? I haven't been that scared since I found myself between Sean Hall and the last donut in the newsroom. Phew, you scared me out of my flippin' mind.
Mr. Fartley,
please call me Jim.
Okay, Jim. I want to say thank you for arranging this secret meeting between us.
My pleasure, Paul. I think that we needed to get together and talk about a few things so that we understand each other.
True enough. But what will we say if someone finds us here together?
We won't say anything. We'll just talk about it, how we love to garden together.
Great. And this is a secret meeting. Can you call me Deep Throat?
I don't know. That's a nickname you have to earn.
I intend to. You big, sweaty, blackhead factory. You big, sweaty, blackhead factory. Now then, I'm a journalist with the Washington Post. What do you have for me?
Oh, just a couple little odds and ends. Let me see what's in my black leather bag. Strap on, lube, ointment, roofies.
Oh, this is so exciting for me.
Here it is, Paul. Here's a binder that has all the Arbitron ratings for the times that our station did well. Here you are, my sweet reporting little angel.
Now, what about the ratings book where your all-news station did not do so well?
No, Paulie, you silly print journalist boy. You know I only secretly leak numbers when they benefit me and my big swollen head.
Oh, this is so great. I love when you anonymously slip me ratings info. It's like our own dirty, little, sexy, numbers secret. Oh, Jimmy, I'm so turned on right now. You can play ring toss with me as a target. If you catch my meaning.
I'm afraid I don't, because I am too stupid.
know. How about if I said you really increase my circulation?
I don't understand newspaper terminology.
What if I told you that being here with you and the ratings is increasing the size of my 12 plus?
Oh, crazy Paul. You don't get arbitrage ratings for a newspaper column. Duh.
Jim, it's a figure of speech. It's a friggin' metaphor.
The last time I met a four, I put local news. Local news at 4 past the hour. Cross your fingers that Frank Herzog doesn't trip over his own thick tongue.
Oh, here's a question for you. Washington Post here. Oh, Frank Herzog, why did you hire that pancake cooking WJFK cast off?
Because he's, oh, so tall. I love a tall man.
I'd stand on a box for you.
Don't worry, Paul. With us, I'll be the one standing.
Hooray. Hooray for together time.
Now, let's get back to your presents that I brought. Here's a discarded pair of boxer shorts that I found at the office where I work.
Oh, gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh, I know the scent of Dimitri Sotis any day.
Is that a man or a woman?
I don't know.
A man.
I am so hot right now. You can make raisin toast in my pants.
And I intend to. I also brought you a stack of Tux medicated pads stolen from Sean Anderson's trash can. And here's one of Diane Kepley's merkins.
I know what that is. What a treasure trove.
And here's one last special item that I brought for you. But you must remember, your end of the bargain. Lots of coverage of me and how great I am in your stupid crap newspaper. Remember the words, super genius. And don't forget to always run the picture where I look constipated.
That's every picture.
I know. I've been eating a lot of cheese. Whoopsie daisy.
God bless you.
There is no God. Now back to the last special item that I brought you. Thought we'd just throw that in there.
I can hardly wait.
Here's a special collectible that's very hard to get. And any hack journalist would kill to have it.
Hey, I'm a hack journalist.
I know, Paul. That's why I brought you a tube of extra strength all-news radio anti-inflammation ointment with an applicator tip that was once shared by Bob Marburg, Ira Melvin, and Lisa Baden. Boy, that was one heck of a Christmas party.
What an amazing artifact. I can't wait to put that applicator tip to good news in the Washington Post newsroom.
Knock yourself out, Paul.
Thanks, partly.
Now then, let's get down to gardening. This recent hot weather is really great for the old organic garden. Would you like to come over here and handle my zucchini? You can practically stare at it and watch it grow.
That is a nice zucchini. But look over here. Have you ever seen such a big cucumber?
But, Paul, I didn't plant any cucumbers.
I know.
Oh, Paul, do you know why I like you? I like you because you give me exactly what I need.
What's that?
Tons of favorable one-sided press coverage that constantly announces to the world how great I am, even though I'm a moron. How do you do it?
It's easy. I just cut and paste from the thousands of emails that you compulsively send me every day.
You're a good boy. Why don't you come back to my office for some Kool-Aid and hot dogs?
A-okay.
There's only one problem. I've hidden your hot dog, and you have to find it.
Oh, Jim, I wouldn't miss it for all the Cafe Milano society dinners in the world.
Join us next time when we'll hear Jim Partley say...
Oh, Paul, I know that you love looking at all of my awards, so I'll let you see my Peabody if I can fondle your press pass.
As we meet the Fartleys.
Bravo!
pouring in right now. Western Union telegrams coming in from across America.
You want to talk about awards? This is award-winning stuff right here.
All of the individual members of the Crack WTOP news team, any of them on Crack or with Big Giant Crack.
So nice to get some of those names in there now, and I think there are more to come.
Oh, yeah. I think you're going to love the future episode that features Sean Hall.
Ah, that'll be delightful.
Sean Hall.
Yeah.
Sean Hall.
Well, I don't know what happened. I was kind of blowing air out of it.
Sure. It's called Fartley and Hambone. That's the working title.
Right.
We're shopping at the studios right now. It's a buddy film. Fartley and Hambone.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't think it's ever been done before. Nobody's ever tackled the news station.
No. A guy, a pompous fat guy who runs an all-news station.
Right.
And an equally fat guy who bounces from station to station and ends up somehow reading the news. And I wonder this about Sean Hall, who both Mike and I have known for a long time.
Yes.
He's one of the news guys uh-huh. on this station. Do you think he cleans his gun during the news like he used to when he played records?
I bet since he's in that glass-enclosed nerve center, he's not able to do that.
Think so?
Probably scare too many people over there in the land of nerd. In the land of repetitive nerd. Repeat, 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 nerd, repeat, repeat, nerd, repeat, repeat.
And for those of you about to switch over to find out the news and the traffic and everything.
I heard the anchors are taking shots at us right now. They're just over there doing a little radio play.
They're off the
mic.
Strip.
Yeah.
This is Ira Belbin. Hey, Dodd, eat me.
Oh, wouldn't that be heaven? That would be heaven. It truly would be. You know, I'm Sean Anderson. Bite me, guys. Yeah, no problem at all.
I'm Frank Herzog. I don't know, frankly, guys, why I was included. I thought we were friends.
Yeah, it just happens to
guys,
be where you were.
Guys, right. I thought we were friends. At least you didn't mention the hair plugs.
I'm David Byrd. Get bent, Mike. And I'm afraid someday, very soon, oh, my love, my big-breasted, empty-headed, school-marm-wearing, Traffic Cunny, I am afraid someday...
She's the face of the station.
The satirical sword will have to come down on the neck of lovely Lisa Baden as she's wearing one of her circa 1847 Little House on the Prairie outfits.
Imagine the combined asexuality of the two of them. Fartley and Baden.
What does that do?
Oh, you see the fun.
Put me in your TV commercial, Mr. Fartley.
We had never even thought about attacking the news station
right.
the way that we would, like, another DJ station.
But look at what they're doing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So
they're the ones that are, you know, sitting at the top of the mountain right now, so right. they're fair game.
Right.
That's why we're doing what we're doing, if people were wondering why. And I know there are a lot of our listeners who say, what the hell are you talking about them for?
Because we want you to stop listening to them.
Bingo!
You have big ratings, big inflated ratings that really don't matter. You're only listening because you think you're going to hear something buzz. Hey, listen, on the forest.
Right.
What's the weather, Buzz?
Hot.
How about the traffic?
Sucks.
Okay. There you go. We just served our community.
That's right. We sure did.
Job done.
Anybody can do it.
Got to break me right now.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
You employed Mr. Lebowski.
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Are you employed, sir?
Employed?
You don't go out looking for a job dressed like that, do you? On a weekday?
Is this a... What day is this?
Yeah, right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Dude. He's a dude.
Accidentally making their audience smarter. The Don and Mike Show.
I want to tell you about a dude. I just called my machine at home.
Yes.
Now, you don't have permission. This is like a sticky wicket, right?
You can't do it.
Playing messages on the air?
You can't do it unless they know in advance that it's being taped for broadcast.
Hold on.
message?
Yeah, hold on.
Maybe if I could just hold on a second. Do you burp again?
No.
Okay. They should get me in the mailbox. But if you leave on your answering machine, that's...
I'm going to have to leave on it. I don't want to leave on my answering machine.
Right. Verizon's voice messaging service. Please enter a mailbox number.
Okay. Yeah, you can't do that on your home machine.
When I left the house today...
There were no messages?
Seven.
Okay. And...
Is that seven messages you got there?
No.
Seven.
Enter your passcode.
Okay, here we go.
In the last break.
Three saved messages are in your mailbox.
He called three times.
Your buddy?
Three times.
How did it go?
Here are some of the highlights.
Oh, dear.
Rebuttal.
He's rebutting?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I'll just give you what he said in the message.
All right.
And
that's fair.
If you want, call. If it's okay to play that on the air, call my machine at home.
Let us know.
And let me know.
All right.
Because he left three separate messages.
Well, he's obviously listening, so if you want to, you know, his machine messages to be on the air, that's fine.
Seems to be laughing, kind of, about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Said, here's his rebuttal. I am the most self-centered person he's ever met in his life.
Uh-huh.
Second message. Thought about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Thought about when we first got together at the party where we had words.
Right.
Thinks that I am an all talk, no action dick.
God.
Third message.
This is your new friend.
Third message. And this is where I think really the mensa is coming through here now.
Okay.
Howard Stern clone.
Ouch.
Okay.
So he's giving you all those digs. Just
yeah.
Thinking them up as he's going along there, right?
And all I had was stuff like, you know, verbally abusing his wife.
That's all I had.
That's
the only ammo that you had.
I'd say this is going well.
That's all I had.
So, you're going to wait to see if he... I'd just love to hear the tone of the guy's voice.
I would love to play the... That is one
Do
of the...
Do you think he's taking it in the spirit that it's given its kind of... It seems that although you're saying some very horrible things to each other, that it's very lighthearted.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be how this relationship is working.
Jabs. They're jabs.
All right.
You Howard Stern clone. Golf Saturday morning?
You
super. Thanks a lot, you bastard. Okay, go beat your wife now. Sure, fat ass. Hold no on, problem
my,
at all.
No, hold on. Verbally.
Oh, verbally, yes.
Verbally.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You
will.
I don't want to get in the middle of this fray. I really don't.
You know, hold on a second.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
We have a great segment on the show, but it's going to be a tricky segment on the show because Charlie has gone through somewhat of a renaissance. He's requested we not play the theme.
Thank you.
He does not want it.
Thank you, Don.
You didn't want the
no.
old...
No, I don't want the thing. I don't want any. No, turn it off.
Okay.
Turn it off, Don.
Hey, it's off. It's off, Charles.
I hit my head, and I've made progress, and I'm doing much better. Thank you very much.
Wasn't it lightning?
Wasn't it lightning? Shut up, Rob, fat ass.
May I recommend the movie Flowers for Algernon?
I'm
or
doing much better. I'm much smarter than I ever have been before.
Charles.
Charlie is not going to be mocked like that guy yesterday.
Really? Charles.
You can bring Dave in here, but don't bring Charlie in here. Give me a break, both of you, really. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're all friends. Come on now.
So how you been
Come
doing?
Come on now. I've been doing all right.
I've been doing, Charles. What'd
how
you
about
do?
Yourself?
What'd you do last
How's
night?
How's that friend of yours, huh? I was listening in my car. I bought a new one.
Really? What'd you buy?
A Mazda Miata.
Wow.
And I'm loving it. Little hot, though. Got the air conditioning. What? Am I talking to you? Seriously. Am I talking to you? I thought I was talking to Don.
You are.
Okay? Oh, wow. You're really pissing me off, Spiewak. You really are.
Pardon.
How you been to... Shut up! I'm talking to Don Geronimo. Okay, this is not the Rob interview, please.
Jesus. Charles.
I'll slap you silly. I'm bigger than you.
I know that.
You know that. I'm 6'7".
Can I tell you something on the down low?
You sure can.
Between you and I?
How are you?
That tip you gave me?
Yep.
That stock tip?
I know.
Who the hell knew?
Nobody would know.
How did you know?
People think whenever... Here's the
How
deal.
Did you know?
Here's the deal. Here's what I do, all right?
Okay.
This is the way it works. When you hear something's bad, you go the opposite way. It works that way all the time. That's the way the markets work. The fluctuations
but Charlie,
are there.
Excuse me, Charles.
Look at the P&E.
Charles.
That's what you got to pay attention to.
But Charles.
What?
Okay, what's the P&E?
You know, the profit and earnings ratio.
But what you're giving me is not...
Well, price-earnings ratio is what it is. You know, price-profit, same thing.
What
don't
you're
look
giving
at me like that.
The tip that
see,
he
you
gave...
looking at me like that, Burbank.
I'm very proud of you.
The tip that he gave me was not like a... I'm not going to say what
John!
It is. I'm not going to say... I just want to say... It's not something you would look... You would not look at the financial section and say, oh, I see,
Don,
this is the stock that's going down.
Don, please, you're being so silly.
Charles?
If I give you a tip that benefits you financially, don't share it with your listeners. It's the only hard and fast rule that I had. It's the only hard and fast rule.
Okay, now let's talk about...
I happen to be somewhat of a financial expert.
Let's talk about your role on the show today.
All right. I know what you want me to do.
No,
I'm going to be dumb Charlie.
No, no.
Rob wants me to be dumb Charlie, so you want me to come in and be dumb Charlie.
No, no.
I don't like doing that no more.
You can be Charlie Light.
I mean anymore.
You can be Charlie Light.
Mm-hmm.
For fun.
Incidentally, I heard you on the show before.
Yes.
I'd like you to know that I can come over and help you calibrate your scale. The modern one. That has the percentage of fat ratio also. I can help you with that. I can take apart anything and fix it. Put it back together again.
Now,
no problem at all. I know electronics.
The level of Charlie that we
the
can
the level
get.
Of Charlie. Here we go.
Hold on a second.
Let's make fun of those with mentally handicapped challenges ahead of them.
Speaking of...
Yep.
Rob, we're going to have to wait on the segment here.
That's fine.
Because
good.
We have an important call.
Is it a
call.
Stupid Charlie segment?
It is, but hold on a second. There's an important call for you.
Hello?
Hello, Charlie?
Oh, Tom?
Hey, Charlie.
Tom, would you do me a favor?
Yes?
Don't talk like me, okay?
Hey.
We're going to stop that now, all right?
Okay.
How are you?
How you doing?
How are you facing today's challenges?
Good.
Good. Everything going well?
Yes.
What's
new? I'm a little sick, Charlie.
Why? Do you have a cold? Do you have a summer cold?
I got a...
What do you have?
I got a virus in my head. I got the...
Oh.
It's called...
Oh, I chuckled, too. You have a virus in your head?
Yeah, it's a virus in my head, Charlie.
Meningitis?
No, it's a virus in my head.
Are you feeling badly?
Yes, I am.
No, don't talk to me like that.
Okay.
Please talk in your normal voice.
Okay.
We're trying to communicate here. Well, what are you taking for it?
I'm taking...
Antibiotics?
Yeah, antibiotics.
Very good. How are your rage issues?
Good.
You know, are you still angry?
No,
do not, please
don't do that.
Please, I don't mean to get, I lost my temper. Please accept my most humble apology, all right, Tom?
Yep.
How are your anger issues, Tom?
Good, they're good.
Are you doing well, Tom?
I hate, what's his name there?
I know, Robert the Angry Mailman. I listen to the show each and every day.
No.
I wish there was some way that I could help you with that.
I think he hates Dave, the new guy, Super Dave.
Super Dave?
Super Dave, his face on the concrete.
Did you like that when that happened?
No.
No, because he hurt himself badly.
Did he hurt himself badly? Did he have to go to the hospital?
Tom!
Yes?
Your hip was replaced. How's the physical therapy coming?
Good.
Is there anything I can do?
This is like in just a wonderful repartee between two chaps.
Two chaps.
What we've got to do is...
I consider Tom to be an equal, Don.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yes.
I'd like to come in and be on the show.
That would not be my decision. You would have to talk to the man about that.
Hey, Don?
You know, I can't do that, Tom. Please don't put me in that unfortunate circumstance again, please.
Tom, I would invite you, but the last time we invited you, you were tardy.
No, I wasn't.
No.
What?
Not funny. Not funny at all.
Not funny at all, Tom.
Not funny. That's right, Tom. You stand up for yourself. No, with your brain virus.
Yeah, Don.
I enjoy the mental stimuli of chess. What say you, Tommy?
Don, I'm coming out there next Thursday.
No, Tom.
What?
Tom, you're demanding. He won't respond well. That's an ultimatum, Tom. You can't give him an ultimatum.
Come on, don't come to the show with that.
It's not possible. He does not respond well to that kind of negative pressure.
Don't be a tard on.
Watch it.
Oh, dear. Now, this is getting ugly. It's going to get just
watch
like that.
Come on.
Hey, Charlie, that's
it's
funny.
It's going to get like that horrible man, Robert the Angry Mailman.
Come on, Charles.
Boy, that makes me angry.
Tard on.
Please
that's
call
funny.
Me Charles.
Hey, watch it.
Charles.
Watch it. Watch it.
Charles Tardon.
Today, for Mr. Gavin, I shall be an advocate.
Okay, well, I got to get rid of him. Because you got to do your bit for us, Charles.
All right, I got... Well, you know what I need to do? We've got that frying pan, right?
Yeah.
In order for me to do that...
No, I'm going to ask...
Did I do it in character?
That,
did I play a role?
Yes.
No, Don, I told you, I'm incapable of doing that. If you want the old Charlie, you'll have to give me a blow to the head.
You know what, then? I'm afraid it's going to have to be new Charlie pretending to be old Charlie.
You can pull it off. What will I do? I don't know what to do. I'm simply beside myself. I can't. I don't know what to do. I will have to take that frying pan and hit myself in the head. Otherwise, I will not be able to be the old Charlie. I can only be this Charlie, the educated, brilliant electronics expert and stock expert.
Charlie.
This topic will not fly on McNeil Lehrer.
I mean, the other Charlie.
What? You'd like the other Charlie?
Yeah.
Well, I have to... All right, there's the frying pan. Hold it. Tom, please, silence. Tom.
Yes.
Silence is golden.
Okay, again.
I will now hit myself in the head as hard as I can with the frying pan.
Oh, frying pan. Sorry. You want frying pan?
Come on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Tom.
Cast iron.
Cast iron. Cast iron. Here we go. One. Ow. 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 Oh, God. Hello there, Tommy. La, 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 la,
la. La, 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 la.
How you doing, Tom? You got a sick head?
I got a sick head.
Good. You got a sick head. How are you?
Good.
Let's get together this weekend, have pizza and ice cream. Now I'm back to normal again. Why did you hit me again?
Shut up. Hold on. All right, Robbie, dial up the interview. Charles?
Can we get rid of him, please? I can't concentrate.
Distracting.
I can't concentrate with Thomas on the phone.
Hey, Tom, see you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye, right. Tom. Hang up.
Enjoy your Pop-Tarts.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He's gone.
He's gone. All right, give me the frying pan again, please. And none of that glass this time. Give me the straight skillet. I want the iron skillet.
I want you to try to pretend to be Charlie.
I can't. I'm incapable of that. You're putting amazing pressure on me. I don't understand. This is so frustrating for me, Don.
Who graduated from that fancy New York art school?
I did.
Who went to all of those...
It was NYU, not that fancy art school.
Okay.
Please refer to it as New York University.
Okay.
NYU, with honors.
Who was...
Summa cum laude.
Who was the lead in Man of La Mancha?
I was.
Who was the lead
I'm the Man of La Mancha.
Fiddler on the Roof.
If I Were a Rich Man.
The producers.
Yes. Specken Sie Deutsche.
Now you're telling me.
Thank you.
Telling me that with your talent that I've seen on the stage,
thank you
Charles,
so much for all the accolades. Talented. I appreciate that. You're saying that I can pull this off.
Sure. You can pretend.
What are the things he says?
Okay.
What are some of the stupid things he says?
He loves pizza.
Oh,
he loves ice cream.
He has
problem containing himself.
Mm.
Meaning if like a woman comes in the room, nocturnal emissions.
Oh my word. This lad has trouble.
This lad
has problems.
He's like, what's
he burned down his orphanage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. He burned down his orphanage when he was 6 years.
All right, so much and to also, work with. Let me try.
Oh, you should know also at the home where he was at.
My word, what am I going to say?
He was abused. Mm. They would tell him that they were taking his temperature.
Well, how was that bad? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was abused?
Yes, he was.
That way?
Yes, he was.
How did he didn't know the difference, the poor lad?
Still doesn't know.
Still doesn't.
And you know what?
What a silly clown. What a silly clown and fool.
It's you, Charles.
Yes, but I can't act like him, but I'll try.
Okay, give him
a great actor. All right.
All right, now let's welcome.
Let's welcome
to the Charlie Show. Rob, tell all of us in Charlie Land who Charlie will be talking to
here's
today.
Here's my announcer, Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob. Sure. I mean, take it to...
Charlie will be talking to Crimebo the Clown, who is a self-professed creepy clown.
I like clowns.
He talks about crime and violent issues.
All right.
Murders.
Crimebo.
Crimebo here. Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. Glad I got the time.
I like pizza and ice cream.
Oh, well, you would.
Yes. Tell us about your... you seem to be a clown that's talking about crime issues. I'm confused by that. I don't understand why... How would that be working into a children's clown at a children's birthday party? That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it's not necessarily a children's birthday party, you know. They come on the crime bus tour. We're all part of the whole...
Yeah, now, hold on, though. Are you exposing these children to potential psychological trauma by bringing up this type of thing? And let's get ice cream!
Come on. Dumb it down.
Every child needs trauma.
Okay. Dumb it down. Gotcha, Don. Gotcha. Here we go. Crimebo.
Yeah?
Please to describe your makeup. Your clown makeup. Tell me about that. Tell me all about that.
Every clown needs a mask. So
yes, of course.
A mask on me.
What type of mask? Please describe.
It's a mask.
Yes. Is it a scary mask? Similar to perhaps Pennywise and Stephen King's wonderful novel.
It's a fear.
Charlie.
Yeah, hold on. Excuse me. Help. Can we put you on hold? Just a crime ball?
Hold on, please.
Por favor, just a momentary lapse in the interview. Why are you screaming at me when I'm trying to interview the man? You keep saying, dumb it down, dumb it down. I asked him about his clown makeup. How stupid can that be?
Okay.
That's a foolish question. Hi, Don.
Hey, Charlie.
We got a clown to talk to.
He's on the phone right now.
Okay.
I wish I was there to hit him.
How you doing, Crumbo?
I'm doing good. How
I
doing?
Love clowns. Tell me about your show.
Well, you know, crimes and murders happen no matter what, you know?
Uh-huh.
Why not make a tragic thing fun?
Right.
You all grew up with the gruesome tales of the scorned lover.
What does gruesome mean?
I'm sorry?
What does gruesome mean?
Terrible. Gruesome. Evil.
Evil! Are you an evil clown like in a scary book?
Oh, you'll have to test me to find out.
Listen to him. He's going, I like evil clowns, too. That's
hey, Charlie.
Yeah, Don.
What do we have for after the show?
What do we have?
P-I-Z-Z-A.
Pizza! The other one I really know how to... Do you like pizza, Crimebo the Clown?
I'm sorry?
What's your favorite food?
I love pizza.
Yeah, pizza's good. What do you like on yours? I like just plain cheese.
Yeah.
Don't put all that junk on it.
I like a little... I can't say it on the radio.
You can't say it on the radio. Is it dirty?
Well,
oh, yeah. My name's Charlie Crimebo. Can you say hi, Charlie?
I'm sorry?
Can you say hi, Charlie?
Hi, Charlie.
Say, I'm Crimebo the Clown.
I'm
hi, Charlie.
I'm Crimebo the Clown.
Hey, Charlie?
Yeah, Don.
Stand right there.
Okay, right here. What are we doing? Really, what
Welcome
are we
back.
Doing? Well, it's good to be back. Crimebo, I'm not sure we can proceed. I really feel that I'm being somewhat abused here.
Oh, hey, you know, if you're feeling abused, go with it.
So
what is this guy's
deal is that he's kind of a comedian. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's kind of a sick thing you're doing, putting the crime and the clown together. What are your feelings on that?
I'm sorry?
Is there some sort of time warp here? What are I'm your sorry. Feelings
Charlie?
On that?
Charles.
Yeah, what?
Hey, Charles.
What? I'm thirsty.
Uh-oh.
I'm thirsty. I want something to drink. I got a headache, too.
Charlie, you got to ask this guy about his website. I really don't understand exactly what this guy's deal is. Something to do with murder and clowns.
It's the 1947 Project.
Okay. Crimebo, tell
yes.
us all about your website.
It is the 1947project.com.
What's that mean?
Well, you come to Los Angeles and you're able to get on the crime bus and take you all
over. What color is the crime bus?
Yeah.
What color is the crime bus?
Well, it's more dripping than color.
More dripping. That's bad, Primo.
Hey, Charlie.
You're a bad clown. Yes, Don. What are you doing? Oh, Jesus. Stop the violence, please.
All right, Charles.
My head is bleeding.
Okay. I think you've fulfilled your obligation.
Oh, the Johnny Jester leaves me cold.
Uh-huh.
Can I just remain me for just a short time on this planet?
We got to wrap this up.
We have to wrap this up. All right. My esteemed executive producer is informing me that we need to wrap up and rather hastily. May we do this?
Yes.
And suffice to say that I find your act somewhat disturbing, but I'm sure it'll play somewhere in some part of Americana. Good luck to you, Crimebo.
Thank you.
All right, I bid you adieu.
Goodbye.
Ta-ta.
Thanks for being on the Charlie Show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining me on the Charles Stewart Satellite Show. Thank you.
Good day.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yes, I'm going to put you on hold. You can chat with the producer, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Hold on, please.
Hold on. Please to hold on. Well, exploited once again. I will have none of it, Don.
Go get the feedback, Robbie.
Thank you for your time, Crimebo. How do you think it went?
No, how did he think it went? Probably didn't care for it. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
He has lots to say.
I probably wouldn't be surprised at all if he didn't care for it.
But we do
and I'm angry. I'm very angry. I've been abused once again.
Charlie had a good time.
Yeah, Charlie had a good... Don't speak for me, ass. Had ass. fat ass. Don't speak for me. Don't speak for me.
Charlie says goodbye.
You bastard. Don't speak for me. Rob Spiewak, I will have your ass. I don't mind telling you, this entire debacle has been your fault. I'm having none of it. I'm so upset.
Well, how do you feel about the Mel Gibson thing?
Oh, well, I think he's a long-term anti-Semite, and he got his just dessert.
Hey, Charlie.
Braveheart.
Bye, Charlie.
Yeah, I live in a townhouse made of Hot Pocket boxes. Bye, boys. See you later.
Bye, Charlie. Kind of interesting. Wow. Smart Charlie coming
sure
by.
Like him. He's a diva.
It was a head injury like Dave sustained yesterday that did it.
Yeah. He's got kind of the Madonna British accent thing happening every once in a while.
It seemed to go on. As long as you let him speak, it seemed to... the Queen's English was spoken for a while there.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
A smart freaking guy.
Very, very... Well, unless you hit him in the head with a frying pan.
Well, there you go.
Then he gets dumb again. Go figure.
Ain't sound effects great.
Yeah. Sound effects is great.
Mike, here we go. It is officially... the hottest day of the year.
No.
Yes. And you have to think that today, of all days, people's nerves would be frayed while they are out motoring in 100-plus degree weather.
On edge, just a little bit. It's going to work today.
That's right. I'm not even going to bother setting this up.
Right.
It simply is the greatest bit of all time.
You know what it is.
This is a jam-packed show. Mm-hmm. Three great words. Honk for cash.
Ah!
I say it proudly. Everyone else winces like I've said something awful.
Don't do it, though.
It's honk for cash.
Ah!
And here's how you play the game. You call us from your cell. You're in your automobile. You're on a major road where you have the opportunity to make a left-hand turn where there is an arrow indicating only one lane can make a left-hand turn.
Yeah, nobody can get around you. You're stacking up people, and you don't move, and people are supposed to go bananas, like I like to say all the time, and beep their horns.
I
come close to killing you a couple of times. Thanks, when we were younger.
Because you said bananas.
Flipping bananas.
Flipping bananas.
Saddens me, I
didn't. Didn't mean to trip the Duke alarm.
So what you want to do is get in the car, call us up, and it goes like this. Let me turn off the music America loves.
Okay.
You're in the car, and the light turns green. And what you do is you just sit there. For 30 seconds, you sit there. It's the most important part. You don't say anything when the light turns green. What you are doing is you're impeding the progress of your fellow motorists.
On a very hot day, on a 100-degree day. Mm-hmm.
And for every honk of anger that we hear from somebody behind you, mad that you will not move your ass, we will pay you $1.
You got a dollar.
That's right.
Right.
This game...
sometimes works.
This game always works.
I'm sorry, always works.
Guaranteed fun.
100% winner.
If it doesn't work, there's only one word that'll come to mind.
What's that?
Inconceivable.
So you guys know how to play.
Call in now, fat asses.
Been a long time. Our phone number 877-365-3636. Please use your freaking heads. Be at a stoplight where there is a left-hand turn lane, only one, not one where people can pass you on the left or the right. And most importantly, when the light turns green, say nothing for 30 seconds.
Right. Say nothing, my sweet.
That's how it works. Please, keep the secret, my sweet.
See you all tonight at Politics and Prose.
We'll be right back with your calls for the greatest bit in the history of radio. Hard for cash.
Right on!
Yeah, you like it, don't you, Charlie?
Sure do, Doc!
How about you, Charles?
No, not particularly. Another one of your silly-ass bits.
Number 4, Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I need something to help you with your list. It's a quit smoking tape. Remember number 102, harmed and possibly killed people with secondhand smoke.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you get it? It's got jelly on it.
I showed Catalina where the good yard sales are.
Ever since the first time Catalina cleaned our room, Mandy's been making any excuse to spend time with her.
Hey, how much for this tape that helps you quit smoking?
More than that.
How about 25?
35.
About 30?
32.
Deal. Hey, say Luke, I'm your father.
Luke, I am your father.
Mike Show.
I like, oh, I get jokes here in my car.
They go together like cigarettes and chili. Don and Mike.
Now, just ahead, along for cash.
Ah.
What'd you just do to my screen, boy? Hold on a second. We're about to hear
the eighth wonder of the world.
Do some tap dancing for us.
Bringing up the Neo Screener software, so it's.
This is Monkey Double Dog right now. Bringing up the. Bring up the Neo Screener software. What is that? From the Matrix?
Is that like Neosporin?
Neo invented it.
That's the name of the Neo. That's the name of your phone screening.
Oh,
software.
Hey, if we're talking about Neo, then you have to go. Whoa.
Oh, all right, we got it. The phone calls are ready for one for cash.
Good.
Just be advised, unlike the other people in this room, I believe this is a killer bit. But it's been brought to my attention that occasionally there is a slow moment during Honk for Cash.
Occasionally.
Now listen, I'm here to provide entertainment, and I can look at this unbiasedly and say, maybe you're right. So if we have a slow moment today,
all right.
I have Mel Gibson's latest apology in its entirety.
Oh, good.
And if need be, you'll break a dong for cash.
You'll break the glass and break out the Mel Gibson apology.
Yes.
To only if absolutely necessary to
right.
save Honk for Cash.
Now, also on our website today, DonandMikeWebsite.com, if you go to the steaming log, today's steaming log, we do want to thank InTouch.com for allowing us to link all of these pictures of him just getting effed up before he went on his big I Hate Jews 80 mile an hour joyride.
Yeah, he and there's one in the lower left hand corner. Well, the one in the middle too. Well, actually all of them.
All of them.
The one where his eyes are pointed skyward.
Yeah, he's having a good old time.
So, we got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
It's Honk for Cash,
right?
Which is 100% guaranteed, never fails.
Right.
But if this is the one time,
mm-hmm.
right here.
You know what doesn't do him well either? You see it. You can just see in a couple of these pictures the big old crucifix that he has around his neck.
Yeah.
There he is. Passion of the Christ right there.
You ready?
Yep.
Time to play Honk for Jews.
Let's go.
Here we go. You know how we play the game? Let's just set this up and watch the hilarity ensue.
Right.
And watch the bankroll get smaller and smaller. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Wads of cash.
Yes.
Hello. Hi. Who is this?
Hey, I'm John. I'm in Sacramento, unfortunately.
All right,
hey,
John.
Hey, that's always a good start.
That's all right, John. Don't worry about it. Someday you'll climb the wall and get out of there. Are you at a stoplight right now?
Yes, I'm actually just pulling up on one. And
how many cars in back of you, John?
There's three or four cars in back of me. There's four in front of me. I'm trying to time it.
How long before the light turns green?
Well, it's red right now.
Yeah, let's get this. Let's just do these.
I'm going to sit aside until it turns green. I'm going to let people pass me.
No. No, you don't understand. No. That's not what we were looking
for. Let me explain how the game is played.
All right.
You're in traffic.
What?
You're at a left-hand turn arrow. One lane only can cross over other lanes.
All right, I'm about to do it right now. I'm going to stop right now. There's a green light. I'm going to stop right in the
is
middle
it green?
Green?
No.
I'm sorry.
No,
you don't get
right.
You don't get the concept.
You're disqualified. It doesn't work that way.
There is no excuse, nor should there be any tolerance, for anyone who thinks or expresses any kind of anti-Semitic remark.
That's right. He has already gone to the Mel Gibson apology.
I want to apologize specifically to everyone in the Jewish community for the vitriolic and harmful words that I said to a law enforcement officer the night I was arrested on a DUI charge. No Gibson. And now,
back to the game.
Back to Honk for Cash.
You know what? It's working this way. It's really working this way.
Hello. It's working great, B.
It is.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
Hello.
Name, please. Any idea? Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Man, I'll try that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, who's this, please?
This is Josh. How are you doing?
Josh, we're doing
Josh?
Great. Josh, where are you from, Josh?
I am from Columbia.
All right, are you ready for Honk for Cash?
Yeah, that's a long distance Honk for Cash.
Not that, Columbia.
I know. It's Maryland.
Do you know how to play the game, my friend?
Yes, I do. But listen, I feel like a huge jerk. I'm like a minute away from a really good interception. Yeah, you guys give me
fine.
1 minute.
Yeah, we can give you a minute now.
Yeah, we got a minute.
Now, listen, hold on. We've got the Mel Gibson stuff to go to. Mike, keep your patience.
Jesus.
Because eventually somebody's going to get this. Now, part of the problem may be...
If you're talking, decades...
We are hard on people while playing this game,
right?
Because ideally you should be already pulling up to a traffic light by the time you're dialing the show.
And one would think with all this banter that we've just engaged in right now, that would have given young Josh here an opportunity to get to his traffic light of choice.
I could say that this part of the show on Westwood One is brought to you by Esurance.com.
Aren't they proud?
Instant online car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? Are you up near a light yet?
Where are you, Josh?
Well, I'm like right down the street. It's kind of moving slow, which is going to be perfect. But you got to give me another minute?
Give you another minute.
I'm sorry. That was very negative,
Mike,
on my
come
part.
Come on, then. Let's stick with one guy, because remember, we've got a guaranteed go-to. And what you got to do is scream out when you get to the light.
Absolutely.
Hey, can't you give him a minute on your new fangled clock?
That he
brought in here.
All right, Rob.
I mean, he sits there and makes a big deal about his new special clock, and then he leaves it there. Here we go.
1 minute.
All right.
I am a public person. And when I say something either articulated and thought out or blurted out in a moment of insanity, my words, Mel Gibson, carry weight in the public arena. As a result, I must assume personal responsibility for my words. Every human being is God's child. And if I wish to honor God, I have to honor his children. Please know from my heart, I'm not an anti-Semite. I am not a bigot. How are we doing on time?
Yes,
30
seconds.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. How are you doing out there?
I'm getting there. I'm like right here.
Getting there. Well, define right there, John. What does that mean?
As in, like, I'm sitting here right now. I'm ready.
It's ready? So now we're just waiting for the lights to turn green?
Pretty much.
Well, now, what do you mean, pretty much?
Is it ready now?
Yes, it is. I'm waiting for the light to turn green.
Okay. All right, hold on, then. We'll stop that. Mm-hmm. Now, when the light turns green, and you're in the left-hand turn lane, you say the light has turned green, and then that's the 1 minute mark. Thank you, Rob. Then, goddamn it, you don't say anything for 30 seconds. If you say anything, it's an immediate disqualification.
Absolutely.
You think you're up to the task, Josh?
Of course I'm up for the task.
30 seconds, in theory, you're sitting in 100-degree traffic, and you're impeding the opportunity for people to make a left-hand turn.
How soon before that light turns green, Josh?
I'm sorry?
Don't worry about it.
How long until the light turns green?
I don't know. Maybe another, 30 seconds, 40 seconds.
Rob, put 30 seconds on the clock there.
Let's see. See how long it takes. Here's Rob. What year is that alarm clock, Rob?
This is a 1940, I think.
I'm not asking for forgiveness. I like to take it one step further. I've met with leaders of the Jewish community with whom I can have a one-on-one discussion. You know, this is such total BS crap. Everything that I read today, everybody whose last name ended with G that was quoted in the newspaper said they're never working with him again.
Yeah, he's really stepped up.
Yeah.
There's 30 seconds, Josh.
Okay, I think it's about to turn green.
Turn green now.
And then, who did I hear? Barbara Walters. I heard her say that she'll be boycotting.
All right, it's green. Here we go.
All right, ready?
Go!
Here we go. 30 seconds.
Game begins.
What this guy's doing.
One.
He's at a light, and he is not moving his car.
Top.
Listen to the agitated motorists behind him. Wow. Listen how pissed off people are.
Pressure cooker out there.
Minecraft detector's going off.
Too. Yeah.
I don't hear it. And he has actually played the game. He has not said anything for the... Over 30 seconds.
I have two, but we will have to verify that they weren't
his own horn.
And I didn't hear any traffic sounds either.
Yeah.
Hello. Normally you'll hear that.
Hello there?
Yeah, that was crap. I'm sorry.
Josh, can we hear your own horn, please?
Sure, hang on.
All right, different than the other
two.
You got two, you won $2.
This is why you
hey!
stick with a winner and win with a sticker.
Right. How could I have doubted you?
You guys, you're awesome. Winner. I love you guys. I listen every day. Thank you. Bye.
And now he's hanging up. He won't collect his $2.
What can I say? Game kicks ass every time.
It does.
Perfect.
It does. How could I have even had a shred of doubt?
Every time.
What's wrong with me?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Shame on me.
Who is this?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Who is this, please?
This is Dave. How are you?
Hi there, Dave. We're great. Where are you from, sir?
I am from Ashburn, sir.
Ashburn, VA. Are you at an intersection right now, Dave?
I am right now. I'm not the first one in the left turn lane, but I've got cars behind me.
Good.
And it should be turning green any second now.
Very good. What would you estimate as far as seconds?
I would say 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Well, I got it. Just turned green. It just turned green.
All right, ready?
Go.
Go. Don't say anything. Go.
David Ashburn.
Stoplight.
97 degrees.
And he's not moving.
I don't hear anything. Heat index 107.
The line is open, Mike.
I don't hear any traffic at all.
Tempers are flaring.
What the heck is going on here?
Nobody is honking. The line is definitely open.
Hey, Dave, you got the stuff?
Dave's not here.
I hear silence in Ashburn.
That's the time's up.
Normally, this is the big snafu, is the 30-second snafu.
Right. People don't play the game, and they talk before, but Dave and Josh have both played the game properly.
Yes. And Dave?
Dave?
David.
I don't know what happened. I had a line of cars behind me, but I guess everybody's patient around
even,
here.
Even in the heat and humidity, people did not seem to be really upset.
Wow. Mike, as the bankroll gets smaller, the laughs get bigger.
We got plenty of dollars in the kitty for a successful player of the game.
Oh. We do, so you actually sat through a light and nobody honked.
Sounded like I had about a good 10 cars behind me and nobody honked. I can't believe
him.
It.
I totally believe the guy.
Yeah.
Now back to the Mel Gibson apology.
I'm not just asking for forgiveness. I'd like to take it one step further and meet with the leaders of the Jewish community. I've begun an ongoing program of recovery, and what I'm realizing now is I can't do it alone. I don't understand where those vicious words came from during that drunken display. But I'm asking the Jewish community to help me on my journey
to recovery.
Hey, Mel.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Hey, Mel.
Shut up!
Mel, what?
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up, Mel.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hey, I want to play.
Yes, of course you do. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Junior.
Junior?
Junior?
Junior, what game is it you want to play?
I'm surprised you didn't catch
I'm coming up to an intersection.
Kong?
Junior, what game is it you want to play?
The traffic game.
You get a demerit.
Is he what he called it?
What? He's out.
Kong! The eighth wonder of the world!
What's going on? What
is his nickname?
Well, just called by him. Nickname.
But if it's his given name,
I don't care if the real Junior calls.
Oh,
he would have to say, Don and Mike, this is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
But what if his parents call him Junior?
Now, Junior, and do you know what he called it, Don? He called it the traffic game. He was a perfect subject.
It was the nickname thing.
No.
That might be his name.
Nickname is sorry about that. Like Buddy Boy Kinzer?
Hello, Don and Mike show. I don't think so.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
All right,
this is Painting Guy from Baltimore.
Let's go here. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello, me? Is this me?
Yes, hi. What's your name, honey? Any idea?
My name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, great. Where are you from?
I'm from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
All right. Are you at a light, darling?
I am, but there's nobody behind me.
Oh, of course there's no.
Give me another chance. I'll get to another really fast, I swear.
Is that the first time you've ever said there's nobody behind me?
Oh, darling, we got to go. Let's go to another one. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
This is Colin.
Hi, welcome to Underachievers of America.
Hi, Colin, what game are you calling to play?
Honk for cash.
Honk for Jews, that's right. Now, remember, and what you want to do is every time you see a Jew, honk your horn.
Oh, stop it.
Not
stop
it.
Mel.
We're playing the Mel Gibson
You're getting
version.
Carried away with the Mel Gibson apology now.
Everything's confused.
Are you at a stoplight, sir?
Yes, I am.
Beautiful.
Wellington and 29.
Pardon me?
Wellington and 29.
Oh, fantastic. It's a dedicated left-hand turn lane?
Yeah.
With an arrow?
Yep.
You got any cars in back of you?
Yeah, like no. 10 of them.
10 of them.
Now, the deal is this.
How soon before the light turns green?
About a minute?
It just turned yellow for the way.
I see.
Okay, so
a little wait.
Good answer.
Yeah, really good answer. Thanks, Colin.
So when the light changes and goes green, what
it's
you do?
Green now.
Go!
Go! Don't say anything. Go. Pissing off motorists.
4 or 5.
It's a must. Somebody back up the cash truck.
There you go, that's 30 seconds, Mike. I counted a clear 23 honks.
Uh-huh.
We must 23 honks.
Ha-ha, 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 ha-ha,
ha-ha. All right, calm down now.
Yeah, careful. All right. Listen, don't you think Frankenstein was happy the first time he got up and said,
yes, I didn't know how many ha-has I was going to get there. It was very interesting.
Ha-ha!
All right, Colin, are you there?
Yeah.
We need to hear you honk your vehicle's horn.
No problem.
What was that?
Shut up.
What?
Where? Colin.
Colin, what are you doing, dude?
Hello?
Colin?
Colin, what's going on out there?
Huh?
Colin, what's going on?
Our lights don't green.
You what, sir?
The light is green.
It's still green, he says.
Well, we'll go then.
I'm going.
But you can go now.
Don't impede traffic.
Would you honk your own horn, please?
Yeah.
Very unique.
Yeah. It's hard because there were a lot of different horns.
I think so.
But I definitely heard Colin's horn there also.
The horn section.
Oh, come on, Mike. Come on.
Oh, it's tough for me.
Come on. It's a good-looking Wednesday, Mike.
Right. Colin?
Yeah.
Did you cheat?
Huh?
Did you cheat?
No.
Didn't get any help.
Why are you laughing at that, Colin?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. Funny. Any of your friends around?
No.
No?
Do you believe that Mel Gibson hates Jews?
Yes, I do. He's definitely anti-Semitic.
Well, I think we have to give them money.
Yeah,
Mike.
I think you do, just based on that.
Although we could take one of the 8,000 calls now coming in from people saying that he's
lying
full of S. Let's start right here.
Come on, my
Here's
people.
The first one. As Joe has put on the screen, he full of S.
Hmm.
Hello, you're on the air, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, other guy. Other guy, second guy.
Yes.
You think Colin was cheating?
I think he was. I just went through the intersection of 55 and 29 in Gainesville. There was a train going. Traffic on 29 was stopped in both directions.
So you think he was lying?
I think he was lying.
And your response?
I think you're full of crap.
Colin?
Yeah.
Rob thinks you're gay.
Maybe a little bit.
Not a factor in this game.
Not a factor, Rob. We're not playing the gay game. Really not.
All right, hold on. Here's
just trying to get to the bottom of this Colin situation.
Here's somebody else. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, two words for you, buddy. Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller.
You think he's a Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, I think he's got a keyboard there.
Oh, really?
In his car.
The keyboard.
Donovan, the keyboard, he's not in his car.
I don't think he's even in his car.
Rob thinks he's fat.
Again, Rob. Not really relevant.
Colin, do you have a keyboard? Are you calling from home?
No.
No.
Come on, you portly keyboarding gentlemen. Come on. Mess up.
Colin?
Yeah.
Colin, what could you say to us that would, plead your case? You seem like a very articulate guy.
Hold on, Mike. Let's talk to another member of the hanging jury.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Hi. We're doing very well.
That guy's parked in the garage or something. He's lying his ass off.
What makes you think that, sir?
Because it sounds real hollow, and it sounds like he's
parked. Don, Rob thinks Colin's got moderate B.O.
I do.
Colin, your response?
There's 97 out here.
What, Colin?
I called to say there's 97, so I probably have some pretty bad B.O.
Colin, why do you think all these people think you're cheating?
I don't know. They don't trust me. It's the heat. It's getting to them.
Tell the truth, sir. Just tell the truth.
Tell the truth, sir.
Well, you must tell the truth, sir.
We got to decide what to do with Colin.
I believe every word of it.
He's a winner.
Yeah.
Mike, it might be the biggest cash bonanza ever on Haunted
Town. Yeah, I think you're right, Don. It's $23 American.
There you go, Colin.
And Colin, that's your windfall.
Thank you.
But with all this controversy, of course, there will be the standard $3 penalty.
You put that towards your continuing education.
I will. Georgia Tech all the way.
And again, I am reaching out to the Jewish community for its help. I know there will be many in that community who will want nothing to do with me, and that would be understandable. But I pray that door is not forever closed.
Mel Gibson.
What a douchebag. Ah, but who am I talking about? The caller? Or the celebrity?
Is it Colin or Gibson?
Hey, Colin, thank you.
Thank you.
Even the way he said thank you.
Pleasure is all mine.
Oh, thank you. Acting crazy now, ain't he?
It's a pleasure to do America's greatest radio bit. It's a pleasure.
Bravo!
Thank you, guys.
Big success.
Thank you.
Don, thanks for believing in it.
We can just turn the transmitter off now and rest on our laurels.
We're done.
Or we can come back and hear whatever's in the newspaper today.
I spent a lot of time cutting out these articles.
All right, Love Buzz's news coming right up.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
He's a local boy. He's just terrific.
He's our new leader.
He's like too much.
Like too much what?
He's one of the truly great swingers of all time.
All night long.
Yep, handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this at 4.
They don't like to brag, but they invented inventing. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, here we go. I've heard the 2 full segments of news tonight brought to you by Ford. Bold moves. And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. The good people of Kansas have voted to kick out the state school board members who made them a laughingstock in the eyes of the world. The last time around, Christian conservatives were able to load the board with members who literally redefined the word science and insisted the Bible story of creation be taught in public school science classes.
Is this more of you putting Wichita, Kansas news at the lead of a... albeit a regional, national news show.
Wichita just happens to be the battlefront today. Tomorrow it could be Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee. You never know. If it happens, I'll be there.
He's a crusader, Don.
Thanks to yesterday's election, the board now has a majority that believes what science has taught us about evolution. Science that one outgoing board member calls an age-old fairy tale, a nice bedtime story. So at least for now, a popular science magazine will no longer be able to call Kansas science teacher the worst job in science.
Buzz, which way do you weigh in on this issue?
You know, I haven't decided yet. Nothing, however, Lynn.
I believe we all came from the stork.
There you go.
In a roundabout way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the stork makes it happen when we're sleeping.
Well, you know, nothing lends credence to any idea, including the creationism movement, like a museum. Even if it features dinosaurs alongside Adam and Eve.
We all come from number 3.
Yes, that's a fair statement.
Yes. But
did the first number 3 come from?
And I had a thought about a slang, an ugly slang word for number 3 that starts with J and ends with Z. When I was in my grocery store over the weekend, hold on a second. One of the guys in the grocery store, I go very early on Saturday morning. They know me. I like going there early, and so I get the run of the place. I'm sorry. It's the way
it's
that I am.
It's known as the blank hour, right? Isn't it? When you go to the grocery store, the J and the Z word.
That's actually what it's called.
No, anyway, what the guy says is, one of the guys, they're unloading stuff. He says, hey, there's a brand new Diet Pepsi product.
Huh?
It's a combination. It's Diet Pepsi with vanilla and black cherry.
Very good.
Just like what I enjoy, the Coca-Cola variety.
Right.
So I said, thanks, I'll buy a bottle. Mm-hmm. It's called Pepsi jazz. Oh. As I looked at the thought...
Can we say that?
Sure.
No, we can't.
Don't think so.
I remember that one. I remember that one specifically.
I'm not mentioning context. I'm just saying I saw it. It was J-A-Z-Z, and it looked like something else. I don't like hearing, don't say that.
Well, don't say that, because I remember that from the meeting vividly. That was a big one. That was actually, don't you? I guess you don't remember that.
I remember that was a personal one that bothered the one lawyer.
You obviously
said,
remember it better than I do.
She said it was her personal one that set her off.
That's what I remember.
She didn't know that was just one that bothered her.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I think... if any of this has made it through on the radio, there is a new Pepsi product called...
Oh, that's right. We don't have to worry about that, do we? I mean, there are other people that make those decisions, right?
Right, yeah. So there's a product called Pepsi Jazz.
Right.
And it looked to me like an ugly gang word.
Unfortunate word.
And,
the gang word that maybe people heard, maybe they didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, just replace the A with another letter.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, go through the alphabet and good luck.
Make your own fun.
Anyway, or when you're in the store, look at it.
Right.
Look at the big 2-liter bottle.
See what you think.
And tell me when you're walking by.
Pepsi has an eye in it.
Tell me if you don't think, because that's the first thing that I said to the guy in the grocery store. I said,
did you sample it?
It tasted salty.
Really? For a soft drink?
Huh. Yeah. No, I liked it. It was fine.
Oh, good.
It was fine, but I did mention to the guy in the store.
Yeah.
God damn, that looks like... And we had a nice laugh.
Yeah, see? At the wee hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, where were we, Buzz?
I was telling you about a new museum that celebrates the creation movement, featuring dinosaurs alongside Adam and Eve.
Oh, that's what got me going on number three.
Now, the fossils show that the dinosaurs were gone millions of years before the appearance of our first ancestors like him.
Fossils
show that dinosaurs first roamed the Earth 200 million years ago and that man followed just a few million years ago. The Creation Museum in Petersburg, Kentucky demonstrates how dinosaurs and man shared the planet, and that both just appeared a few thousand years ago.
What about Jim Fossil?
Believers.
From the Baltimore Ravens.
Not familiar.
And formerly of the New York Giants.
Your New York football Giants.
Disastrous head coach of the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Believers.
But they made it to the Super Bowl, didn't they?
Well, that's right, one. But then I always remember the negative. When they fired him.
Believers have donated over $22 million to the museum, which opens next May, because as one creationist put it, Americans just aren't gullible enough to believe they came from a fish. Then he drove away in his car with the fish on the back.
That reminds me of something else.
Yeah?
I think if you are driving a car that has a fish on it, indicating you're a Jesus freak, you are definitely not allowed to be an aggressive driver.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And every time I see that, I say the same thing. If I get cut off, and I've been cut off by minivans with those little fish on them, it's like, that's not a very Christian thing to do.
Right.
How would Jesus drive?
Yeah, what would Jesus do?
Right. He'd be a horrible driver. There no cars back then.
No, you really shouldn't use
that. But he'd be a horrible driver. He's got gigantic holes in his hands and his feet. How's he supposed to work the pedals and do the steering wheel?
But I agree. I think if you put that thing, that little metal fish on the back, you actually have to drive
you
more reasonably than other people.
You're representing.
Sure. You're passive.
Right.
Right.
But so that we now know that Jesus could never drive a stick shift.
If you've had the feeling we're never going to be able to pay for this war, you're wrong. Consider the war paid in full. We're talking, of course, about the Spanish-American War of 1898.
Oh, how was that, Buzz?
Congress, it was, as I recall, I mean, the best I can remember, it was a long time ago, cold.
Oh, very,
very
cold.
Very damn cold.
Yeah, but your uniforms were great in that war.
I liked them. Congress imposed a tax over 100 years ago to cover the Spanish-American War's outrageous expenses.
Aren't you wearing your battle crest today?
Yes, I am. Yes, my platoon, as a matter of fact. They did this, Congress did this tax, a tax on telephones that you're still paying today.
Hey, maids, is the platoon of the rolled-up sleeves.
Phones were considered a luxury in those days.
The rest of this platoon will be doing KP.
So the phone tax was considered a tax on the rich to help pay for the defeat of the Spaniards. Yesterday, Verizon stopped collecting that 3% federal excise tax, and it and other phone companies are now asking the government to repeal the tax.
We all worship a man named Arthur Fonzarelli from the future.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is wear a very tight T-shirt.
Right.
So tight that he can roll up the sleeve and put a pair of Lucky Strike cigarettes right there on his bicep.
But Buzz isn't wearing the Luckies today.
Very handy, though.
No, he's not, but he could carry some cigs up there with by the guns.
But don't think that we have not noticed your brand new tight T-shirt.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Elvis shirt.
I wouldn't wear them if you didn't notice them.
Oh, that's nice.
He's a fag.
The tax is unnecessary, they say, because the
six men in a house together.
The war is paid in full. What are the odds?
Mm-hmm. We won the Spanish American War. See, that's where you're tricking.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
The average person would think you were talking about the war in Iraq.
Right. Well, I asked for the current war. We've run out of troops.
But we won the other one. Are you listening, Jose?
He never resists.
What I'm saying here is we don't have any extra troops to send elsewhere. A study by Democratic national security experts claims, quote, there's not a single non-deployed Army brigade combat team in the U.S. that's ready to deploy. The study says the Army has no ready strategic reserve.
Let's send Mel Gibson.
The study says two-thirds of the Army's manpower is unready among reserves and active duty.
Especially if he wears that blue paint on his face again. You know, he'll kick ass.
A top National Guard general, Lieutenant General H. Stephen Bloom, says
he would definitely be with the Hasbros, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two-thirds of the Army's Guards Brigade are not combat ready.
Because they're fighting Israel.
Fight with Israel.
Right, he'd fight for the Hasbros.
Part of the problem, apparently, budget problems.
And is it his or his?
I don't know. All I know is
I see it sometimes as Hezbollah. I see it sometimes as Hezbollah.
Hasbro is a beloved toy company.
It is, yes, a lovely toy company. It would have nothing to do with the Middle East conflict.
But it starts with H. It's either that or I call them Hardee's.
I know. And there's that Z word again. That Z letter. Z.
So we're short of troops because of budget problems. Maybe a phone tax is in order. True stories when we return.
Oh, all right. Thank you, bud.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
That's Bartley.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, you see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. They are ready to bump uglies for ye.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Ready for another full segment of buzz? Not one of those little, like, two-second jobbers.
That's right.
I ran the board right today.
I'm a girl boxer.
Ran the show on time today.
We are on time.
Here's another full segment of Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
True story, as promised. Senator Rick Santorum, Republican from Pennsylvania, tried to get on a Senate elevator at the same time as Hillary Clinton. Her posse included eager reporters, and tradition has it they're allowed to ride if invited by a senator. That used to also go for attractive young women, but not so much these days.
Right,
anyway,
Hillary.
Santorum couldn't get on the elevator because of Hillary and her gaggle of reporters. They quote him as saying, no, 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 come on, come on. Suddenly, being a senator wasn't so much fun. The Washington Post reports that our senators have taken on, among other issues, who gets to ride on the Senate elevator.
Hey, your tax dollars at work, baby.
Who wants to ride Hillary?
Certainly not Bubba. You know what I got to do one time? Remember when I came back from my lunch with the congressman? I got to ride that special train.
Yes, I've ridden that.
It's an underground train.
Charlie train.
I was going to leave it at special train and let everyone's minds work after that. It's fantastic. Barney Frank was on the train.
He was.
Always is.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing for the very first time...
It was Super Dave. And Tom Gavin.
Thanks for letting me on the train. I hit my head.
Special train.
Special train.
For the very first time, America's second biggest car maker is Toyota. In a bold move, Toyota has just zipped past Ford to become the second largest automaker in the country.
Is there anybody as old as me... Well, many of you are, who remember back in the day when Jap cars first came out. No offense to any Oriental.
Of course.
Parcels. When they first came out, and people would say, oh, my God, look at that. It's so tiny. It's so small. It's
cheap. Whoever would buy it. Yeah.
And same
cheap.
When Honda started, it was...
They're tiny. They're ridiculous.
They make lawnmowers.
Right.
They look like clowns ought to come out of them.
They don't make cars.
And now look where we are now.
Right.
30 years later.
Mm-hmm. Last month, sales were up over 12% at Toyota. They were down 16% at Ford. Sales also down at Chrysler and GM.
And I think the main reason for that is because everybody's freaking out about gas mileage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, you know, I mean, even back, if you think back like the 76 or 77,
right.
Let's say 76, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I had one. Yeah.
Or what was Detroit offering? The AMC Pacer?
They had the AMC Pacer.
The Gremlin?
They had the Ford Fiesta.
Oh, that's right.
I owned a Ford Fiesta. You know what? My Ford Fiesta is one of the best cars I ever owned.
We were
phenomenal in snow because it was one of the first front-wheel drive cars.
But I'm telling you that one thing they have done, the Japanese, they have done a masterful job in 30, and this is why we should keep our eye on them. They have done a masterful job of coming over and just knocking us right out.
I heard they can take a television and put it in a watch.
Really, I mean, I'm not kidding. If you remember 30 years ago, I hope I'm not going on too much about this, but it was like...
You're right.
Oh, my God. Why would anybody buy a Toyota?
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with mom, dad, apple pie, Superman, the American way.
No, we were over that.
Right.
It was just like, God, look at that little piece of crap, and it's from Japan. They don't know how to build cars.
The image was cheapness, and now that's the opposite. Now we have the image of having cheaper cars, and certainly cheaper interiors, and the Japanese don't, so that's the way that works.
Meanwhile, the Spiewak family was all piling into a Pinto.
Ah, the Ford Pinto. What did go wrong?
And I remember what got me over. What got me over to the Toyota Celica.
They made good cars.
No.
No?
Came with a cup holder.
And people don't realize that.
I don't remember those things. I am not kidding.
They were the first ones to do that.
I am not kidding that was the selling point for me.
Just for you.
Cup holder?
Right.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay sticker!
Also, and the fact that they don't... really, the truth is that when you drive them, you can drive them, you don't have to worry. You know,
they never break. Mm-hmm.
They don't break down.
Neither do GM cars.
GM car.
There he is, Johnny America.
Yes, red, white, and blue.
Nobody, I remember.
Nobody saw this coming on W's watch. In a surprise move yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration agreed to reconsider whether adult women should have access to the morning after pill without a prescription. It would remain a controlled substance for women under the age of 18, and it would remain behind the pharmacist's counter, even for adult women. But this is all more than anybody expected, and word is, it could be a reality within a matter of weeks.
Yeah, you're going to have a jar of them next to your console like jelly beans.
I like the silence there.
I'm thinking.
Like anyone needs...
Two birds.
Like anyone needs another...
Have one of these. Fear not.
You can put them right by your little thing with your business cards.
It's a vitamin.
Have you seen the little...
I have.
In Buzz's office slash newsroom,
right?
He has a nice little nook area.
Yes, I do.
There it is. He's got his business cards there, and he can put the jelly bean counter with the morning after pills.
That's a great idea.
I want to sell this right up. Sell this one right up. I will sell this one. give me that one again.
It's the Poseidon Adventure, baby.
Give me that one
again. The morning after, it's called.
Let me see. What's the name of the girl who won the contest yesterday?
Heather and also Norma.
I get all this is Al Qaeda. All of a sudden, this is out to Heather. This comes from Buzz. He says, never call me again.
There's got to be a morning after.
Pill.
If we can hold on.
Yes, Buzz? Like anyone needs another reason to stay away from teenage girls, there's this.
So when you go into Buzz's newsroom, which is actually a gigantic studio now.
You get a photo?
I prefer to call it a lounge.
He's got his nice... Buzz now works standing up like I do.
Right.
Loves it. He's got a real nice computer set up.
Beautiful room.
He's got his nice control board. And then he's got a little like slash interview...
Nook.
Mm-hmm. Cranny area.
Right.
And I sit there every day and we discuss current events and whatever. And I notice he has a little... thing, like you go to a car dealership.
Business card holder, clear
business card
plastic.
Business card holder.
And it's just like an RV. You press a button, it turns into a full bed. A single bed.
The question is, who do you plan on having in there?
Whenever we have visitors, they're welcome to take a card.
You know what? I think I'll start handing mine out, too.
You should.
Where are mine?
That's what they were printed for.
Do we have them?
You can have one of mine. I'll write your name on it.
Thank you. Just like those car dealers. Just like a 16-year-old car dealer.
Right, exactly.
Here you go. Here's my card. Listen, I haven't gotten my regular cards yet, but here you go.
That's not my extension, so you're going to have to write it on.
Thank you, sir.
What I want is a gag card. Now,
What I would like is a card that has a picture of two cleaning products.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Pride and joy. So I can say to someone, may I show you a picture of my pride and joy. I want to tell you.
Me slapping funny.
Yeah.
And then every time.
Next thing is, sell me this pencil. I mean, I am giving you the door openers to a future in sales.
That's right. I do think, seriously, and I'm telling you this seriously, that now that they have actually responded to some of my needs here by putting some furniture up in our office.
Yeah, yes,
but I think I gotta do a little what Buzz has done and maybe put some stuff in.
Contribute.
There. Yes, they put a little something
to
in
the
there.
Atmosphere.
You know, maybe stop by one of those storehouse furniture places or maybe IKEA.
Like wax fruit?
No, something a little more special. Something that they used to have in the offices of Tate, on Bewitched.
Oh, a bar.
A little bar.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm all for that. Are
a
you
little
kidding?
Bar.
I, excuse me.
We probably
I believe it's called a wet bar.
A wet bar. Right.
A wet bar.
We got all the room in the world.
Yes, we do.
We really do.
Well, like anyone needs another reason to stay away from teenage girls, there's this. They're crawling with STDs.
Oh, dear.
A new study shows that teen girls...
Well, I could have told you that.
Teen girls commonly carry the virus that causes genital herpes. None of the young women tested had any sores anywhere, and yet they tested positive for the virus. Doctors say their bodies were shedding the virus vaginally. That means these young women are carriers very capable of spreading the virus. A study 10 years ago found that more than 1 in 5 Americans over age 12 test positive for herpes.
Wow, your dog shreds a lot. That's not from my dog.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them apparently
from my daughter.
Teenage girls.
What are you doing? Wait. What?
Church Sunday. I'll fill you in when we come back.
Church.
Church.
We need church after that story.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. All things equal, they prefer dog vomit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now let's get right back to Buzz.
Hi, Don.
I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Shut up!
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
D&M.
Hi there.
Finally, yes, you should have been in church Sunday in Newport, Arkansas. At the Pentecostal Church of God there, the pastor's wife, Tammy, stood up and pointed a gun at her husband. She demanded that he come clean about his extramarital affair with a member of the church's youth group.
Uh-oh.
She claimed she'd seen the text messages he'd been sending the girl. After a brief standoff with police, the preacher's wife surrendered. Not only was no one hurt, it was perhaps the most stimulating Sunday morning there in quite some time.
Yeehaw!
The pastor, by the way, still has his plumbing company. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of...
Oh,
time.
Why was a pastor in a plumbing company?
It's a good question. I got something to fall back on.
It's a sideline. Okay, good day to you, sir.
Good day to ye.
Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Kong.
What's your opinion of Jesus?
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Yeah. He's a Jew, right?
Yeah, he's all right.
I hate him.
Me and Mel.
Gibson.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.